It is 95.5 KLOS Rock, Southern California. Welcome to the Fraser Smith Show. I'm Fraser Smith. No applause?
Thanks. I had a 10 o'clock hangover.
Wow. You are tryptophaned out, bro. How'd you guys get in here? All right. Anyway, he is the producer of the year, according to, well, you know how they say 4 out of 5 dentists recommend? Well, the fifth dentist says that he is the producer of the year.
1 out of 5 ain't bad.
Yeah, you'll take it. He's also the king of the Tex-Mex guitar. He once played Pepe the Drug Mule in a Telemundo production of Zorro. He's Harvey Weinstein's personal gardener. He often gets mistaken for L.A. weathercaster Maclavio Perez. Claims to have directed most, if not all, of the Twisted Sister video, something we all know is not true.
Marty, I apologize.
And, of course, he is the coach of your L.A. Galaxy. Here he is, the great Mel Garcia.
Maclavio Perez.
Remember him?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Yeah. He's a buddy of mine.
That perfect
guy was,
hair.
Yeah. He did. I think it was rented. All right. Thanksgiving, I told you I was at the Laugh Factory. A lot of folks who listen to our show every week were there, and I'm not sure on what. But anyway, I got a bad case of gravy elbow. Still got it. That turkey makes you sleepy, too, doesn't it? Who's stuffing those things? Bill Cosby? Guys, come on. Jokes. All right, what a show, man. Stevie Salas is going to be here. Man, what a guitar player. Yeah. Wayne Kramer, legendary from MC5. The MC5, man, as if one wasn't enough. Yeah. Pat Vegas from Redbone.
Oh, come and get it. You're
yeah, man, that's an unbelievable band. And Jack Temption, too, also Eagles songwriter. He is awesome, too. It's going to be an amazing show. Did you watch some football?
Yes, I did.
This weekend. Rams. What's going on? Those Rams look good, man. They beat the Saints. Yeah. That's not easy to do. No, Saints are good. Rams are looking good. Goff looks good.
All the audibles.
Cooper
so
Kupp. What are they, 8-3?
Yeah,
something like that. Yeah. Chargers look good against the Cowboys. Of course, who doesn't look good against the Cowboys these days? But they clobbered them.
Yes.
Raiders beat the Broncos today. Mel, I know you're happy.
That's not saying a lot, but yes, we won.
Yeah. And if anybody cares, the Grey Cup, Canada's Super Bowl, basically, was won by Toronto.
Oh, I thought.
Yeah. Shania Twain was the halftime show, and they brought her in on a dog sled. Seriously.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, there was a lot of
They're
snow.
Doing snow angels in the end zone.
I couldn't see anything.
Yeah, you could. That was the whole thing. Is there a game there? I think so. No? Maybe not. No. All right. Look who else is here. He's a board op from the future. He's known as the Texas Tornado. He's a self-proclaimed MILF magnet. Apparently, that's why they call him Kid Cougar. He once drove the KLOS van into the lobby of an Applebee's. And, of course, he is the white Bronco. Here he is. Mr. Mike Fox.
Oh, and you still got the 2-for-20 deal.
That's
right.
Yeah, man.
I had to get there. Had to have it.
Preferred parking.
Yeah.
So you were here all weekend for
pretty much, yeah. Yeah, I was working.
Turkey
all
Day?
Turkey Day. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've been to Black Friday.
Yeah, really? Do they have any turkey in the vending machine there? Nothing?
No. Somebody left a turkey pot pie in the freezer.
Turkey tacos from Del Taco? Maybe?
Well, why not?
Yeah.
Those are good.
Yeah.
All right, we got a great show for you tonight. Nothing but legends on the show tonight. Famed guitarist Stevie Salas. He played with Jagger, Rod Stewart, Aerosmith, many others. And he's the executive producer of the movie Rumble.
Oh,
it's a doc, man.
I saw it. It was so brilliant. So brilliant.
Link Wray, man.
Yeah.
Legendary, right? He came up with a power chord.
Yep.
How do you top that? And another legendary guitarist, Wayne Kramer.
Yeah.
From the MC5, man, right out of my backyard. And as if that wasn't enough, from the legendary band Redbone, Pat Vegas will be joining us, as well as showbiz guru Barry Katz. He'll be here, too, with his industry standard showbiz report. And Eagles songwriter Jack Temption, too. It's all popping off on the Fraser Smith Show, brought to you tonight by Trump's Tacos, home of the new Cafefe Carnitas. Those are good. And by the new Harvey Weinstein Chia Pet. It comes complete with Sneeze Guard.
Oh.
You're going to need it. All right. And also by, I believe it's not gluten, the gluten substitute that tastes like real gluten. It is the Fraser Smith Show. It's 95.5 KLOS, The Rock.
You can't tell the difference.
Of Southern California. You really can't.
Yeah.
Tastes just like gluten. Yeah, David Bowie. 95.5 KLOS, The Rock of Southern California. That is Panic in Detroit. Fraser Smith here. We were panicking on Thanksgiving Day, Mel. Once again, the Lions letting me down.
You know what? I got to admit, I dropped their defense and went with the Chargers defense, and now I'm in third place.
Good move. That's a good move. All right, man. Great show, as we mentioned. Stevie Salas coming. Oh, man.
Yeah.
You know, Wayne Kramer. Jack Temchin. It's going to be an amazing show. Pat Vegas.
Who hasn't danced to Come and Get Your Love?
One of the best. A great song. One of the greatest songs ever, I would say. Yeah. All right, guys, it's time for events. How about that? Well, clap now, cry later.
We're hesitant. Go ahead.
Yeah, you should be. All right, gang, Thanksgiving is over and Christmas is right around the corner, and that means it's time once again for the grand opening of Cholo Larry's Santa's Little Crack House in Pacoima. Once again, this Christmas, Larry and the gang will be decking the halls with boughs of chronic. You can meet Rudolph the Red-Nosed Crackhead, and watch out, up on the roof, those aren't reindeer, those are drug mules. And that's not snow, that's product. Remember, kids, kids get new toys and snitches get stitches at Cholo Larry's, Santa's Little Crack House in Pacoima. And not to be outdone, Trump's Tacos has their Christmas spirit in full effect. Trump tribute band Donnie and the Comb-Overs are going to be busting everyone's favorite Christmas jams like I'm Dreaming of a White Cabinet, Silent Chief of Staff, Russians Roasting on an Open Fire, and here comes Covfefe Claus.
Wow.
Yeah, all the favorites. While you're there, be sure and check out all the new Covfefe Carnitas. Those are really good. And, of course, the ever-popular Grab 'Em by the Pupusas and the Comb-Over Quesadillas are great, too. Check it out all this month at Trump's Tacos.
As much as I hate to admit it, I like the Grab 'Em by the Pupusas.
Yeah, they're good. And finally, our second favorite sponsor, Butt Plugs of Monrovia, has the grand opening of their annual Santa's Christmas Dungeon, guys.
Wow.
Yeah, once again this year, it's ball gags roasting on an open fire. And once again, adult star Ron Jeremy's playing Santa, although I wouldn't recommend sitting on his lap, okay? That's the grand opening of Santa's Christmas Dungeon at Butt Plugs of Monrovia.
That thing says Christmas like
really?
Ball gags roasting on an open fire.
That is very, very seasonal.
Yes.
All right, that's it for events brought to you tonight by Gluten on a Stick. It's gluten. It's on a stick. It's glutastic. And by, what was your name again, malt liquor? Remember, it's never a good idea. Stay tuned. Coming up next, Eagles songwriter Jack Temchin will be joining us on the Fraser Smith Show after this. Yeah, 95.5 KLOS Rock of Southern California. That is the Coop, Alice Cooper, on the Fraser Smith Show, 95.5. And joining me right now, this guy is amazing. He is one of the songwriters for the Eagles. He's written some great songs, some legendary songs. Jack Temchin. Jack, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you, Fraser.
Man, I'm admiring your wiener. I mean, your...
It is beautiful.
Shouldn't have said it like that exactly, but
it's solid gold.
Yeah, it really is. I'm impressed with that. If I could do that, I'd be happy. You were playing McCabe's tonight.
Yes, it was really fun.
Did you have fun? It's a great place.
Well, it's been there. So I played there three nights in a row in 1978. And then if you look at all the people that have played there since then... It's just one of the greatest venues on the planet. You know?
It is, and some legendary people have played there.
Yeah, so
a great
many.
Place.
And so I was proud to play there.
Sure, you must have had fun. Now, they gave you this golden wiener for, what was the purpose of that?
Well, it was the 45th anniversary of the release of my song Peaceful, Easy Feeling by the Eagles. And when it was the 40th anniversary, San Diego had a ceremony, and I wrote the last verse of the song sitting at a table at the Der Wiener Schnitzel in San Diego on Washington Boulevard. And so 40 years later, they had this. They put a plaque in the table, which I'm proud to say that somebody stole.
Nice.
And then the Wiener Schnitzel Company gave me this thing right here, which is a solid gold wiener. So I don't think anybody else in the music world has one. You know.
Well, it's very impressive.
Yeah, it is. I'm impressed myself.
Yeah, it's good. That is really cool. It was cool that you wrote it there at Der Wiener Schnitzel. That is how a songwriter works, right? You work when the inspiration hits, I would think, right?
I had my guitar. I bought a $13 Stella guitar in a pawn shop, and I had a piece of string for a strap. And I just used to walk around all the time. So I was walking around, and I just sat down there to wait for a Polish dog, and I just kept working on my song. So it was just all the time back then.
Now, do you do a song sometimes when you're writing them piecemeal? I mean, you write part of a song, and then you get a blockage there, and you go and do something else, and you come back and finish another part of it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
But a lot of times it's several days in a row. You're just pushing on it and pushing on it, and then every time you stop, you wait a little bit and come back.
Do you stay on that one song?
I used to. You know,
now you jump around a little bit.
Now I jump around a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what gave you the initial inspiration for Peaceful, Easy Feeling?
Well, on the surface, I went, I went out to a club in El Centro, and I was playing this club, and the waitress was going to take me home later. But she didn't show up. And the guys had already left who were giving me a ride. So I spent the night on the floor of this little club in El Centro, and that's when I started writing the song. Then I got back to San Diego, and I saw this girl at the street fair with these turquoise earrings. And so I put her in there, and that's basically how the song came about. I saw a couple more women and tried to get them in the song. And
Yeah. So you just, where that inspiration strikes you, you see something that catches your eye, and you think, okay, I can make a verse out of that.
And you know, I think we were all into Zen and stuff, and it was just kind of like, well, if you give up looking for somebody to love, that's when you're going to find them. It's like if you give up, when you give up sometimes, that's when things fall into your lap. And
Then I should be doing really well.
Yeah, you should.
Because I give up all the time.
Well, see, that's good.
Yeah.
That's a theme.
But I know what you're saying. It has a little,
So that idea was in there, you know.
Yeah, that's cool. Now, when did you hook up with Glenn Frey?
Well, I hooked up with him, I don't know, it was about 5 years before the Eagles, you know. So I met Glenn really early on, and I knew him for 46 years.
Wow.
And we never wrote anything together until 1980 when the Eagles broke up. Then we wrote a lot of songs together.
For his solo stuff, right?
Most of his solo stuff we wrote together.
Did you really? Wow. Yeah. That's great.
And that was a wonderful 14 years of working with him.
Some real hits, too.
Yeah. It was great.
Yeah.
But the first 10 years I knew him, we didn't write together, but he was a very generous guy. He recorded two of my songs with his band, the Eagles, which, you know, he could have done his own songs. And
he must have liked yours. Those are great songs, too.
He was like that.
Yeah, Peaceful Easy Feeling's a great song. And,
thank you.
And Already Gone, too. You wrote that,
yes,
too, right?
Yes, I did. With Rob Stramlin, another friend of mine, I wrote that.
Now, do you write both the words and the melody?
Yeah, I do. And so does the other guy if I'm co-writing.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, if I'm writing, yeah. In other words, it's not like I just write words or music. We all do it together, kind of.
Okay, cool. Yeah. And when you started writing with Glenn Frey, did you do that with him, too?
Oh, yeah.
Sort of share the...
all the songs we wrote together were both... we both did the music and the
words. Did you write Sunset Grill?
I did not. That was
no.
Him. But I've eaten there.
Oh, well, me too.
Yeah.
That's why I asked you that.
Right next to... Somebody wrote in and said, I thought it was Watch the Working Girls Go By, and then, you know, instead of The Working World Go By.
Well, back in the day, it probably was.
I think it was.
Yeah, that End of Sunset was wacky at one point.
It was pretty wild.
Yeah. Well, then, so you guys, now, you also play yourself, too. You go out and you do gigs like you did tonight.
Uh-huh.
Right? And have you always done that?
Yes, I have.
You've always been a musician.
I had a band in 1978 called the Funky Kings, and we were signed by Clive Davis on Arista. And we opened for Hall & Oates on tour, and then we did a version of Slow Dancing that got on the Billboard chart. And then I had a solo career after that and made about 10 more records. And so, you know, I play.
Yeah, you're still out there doing it.
Yeah.
That's great. And do you do the Eagles tunes in your live set?
The ones I wrote.
Do you?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, sure.
And were you a fan of the Eagles?
Oh, yeah.
Before you started doing this?
Yeah.
What were some of the ones you wrote with Glenn?
With Glenn, I wrote Smuggler's Blues.
That's a good song.
Thank you.
Yeah, I love that song.
Yeah, we felt we had something to say about the subject. And I wrote You Belong to the City and something called The One You Love, which people only recognize by the saxophone part, you know.
Right.
And I don't know, a whole bunch of other ones that we wrote.
Now, what are you planning to do now? You're going to continue writing songs and playing, I'm sure.
Well, I was very fortunate about 3 years ago to get a record deal on the Blue Elan record label. And so I've made 3 albums since then for them. And then the latest album is called Peaceful Easy Feeling, the songs of Jack Temption. Because right away they wanted me to record all the songs that I'd written that were hits.
Sure.
But instead, I wanted to record a couple albums of brand new songs, which they let me do. So it was really great. But now this album is getting a lot more attention because I recorded, it's almost all hits on there.
Yeah, those are, I was just looking. They're all hits.
Yeah, so I don't want to waste, if you buy my record, I don't want to waste your time. The song, you know, you've never heard them, and yet they're already hits. See how's
so,
that?
How are you going to, yeah.
How are you going to beat that?
You, you really can't beat that. You know.
They're all hits, and you've never heard them before.
You can't really top that.
You can't.
That's very good. Good marketing, my friend. So should we play Already Gone? We're going to play Already Gone, right, when we come back? All right, we're going to do that. And I want to ask you, you were also at the Grammy Museum.
Yeah, I played there a couple times.
Yeah.
It's really nice.
That's cool, right?
Yeah.
You also, and I saw that you wrote Peaceful Easy Feeling, or one song on the back of a concert flyer.
Yes, that was Peaceful Easy Feeling.
Yeah.
I had this
You're
flyer.
At Der Wienerschnitzel with a concert flyer, and you wrote a song, a hit song. That's pretty good.
Well, the flyer was about me, and it was all lies.
Oh, really?
It was like a real man, Joni Mitchell. Hits those notes real good, Johnny Cash, you know.
Yeah.
But it got me the gig in El Centro.
Well, you know what? That's worth something.
And then I wrote on
there
the
There you were,
of it.
On yeah. the floor, and that started you writing that song.
Yeah.
That's very good. All right, with us, Jack Temchin. We're coming back with him on the Fraser Smith Show. And this is me. I read this. That's a lot of pressure. Okay. The L.A. Auto Show takes place December 1st through the 10th at L.A. Convention Center. Thousands of vehicles, including the latest cars, trucks, SUVs, hybrids, concepts, and more. $15 for adults and just $5 for kids. What Up is brought to you by Dennis Dillon RV. 2018 Winnebago Motorhomes from $49.99. Where the 405 meets the 22 in Westminster at ddrv.com. All right, Fraser Smith Show, 95.5 KLOS. Jack Temchin is with us, Eagles songwriter. And you got a gig coming up, Laguna Beach, right?
Yeah, a club called Mozambique. I haven't played there before. It's this weekend, Saturday and Sunday. The first the Saturday sold out, so they added a second night.
Sweet.
I know.
You're selling
cool.
them out, bro.
Yeah.
Nice. It's Your manager's funny. Got a big smile.
Yeah.
He loves that. Well, that's fantastic, man. So they're coming out.
Yeah.
And, again, you know, you wrote some classic stuff for the Eagles. You also wrote Slow Dancing for Rita Coolidge. I'm a big fan of hers.
Oh, good. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I wrote it, and Johnny Rivers did it, but Rita just did it on this album with me.
Is that right?
We did a duet and a video, and it's just me and her and a piano on this album.
Okay, cool. And who are some songwriters that you look up to?
Oh, my gosh. Well, you know, it's your Bob Dylan, and it's your Van Morrison, and it's like, you know, the Rolling Stones, I think, are some of the greatest writers, and... So I'm still back there.
Oh, sure. Well, those are the legendary ones to pick, sure. All right, Jack. Well, we really appreciate you coming in. I hope you take your wiener and get the heck out of here.
Okay, man. I'll take it
with you. Golden wiener. Congratulations. That was pretty awesome, man. I would.
Thank you, Fraser. It's been
great. It's really nice to have you on the show. Continued success to you, my friend.
Thank you very
and
much.
Good job writing those classic hits.
All right.
There he is. Jack Temchin, Eagles songwriter. Go see his show in Laguna Beach. And this is the Fraser Smith Show. It's 95.5 KLOS, a rock of Southern California. Fraser Smith here on the Fraser Smith Show. That was the legendary Link Wray and Rumble. And joining us right now is legendary guitarist Stevie Salas.
Hey.
Hey, bro.
I'm legendary. I love
it. Yeah, man. You are. Look, you played with all the biggies.
Some of the big ones, yeah.
Yeah. You really have.
Hey, you're a big one. What are you talking about, man? I've been around here a long time, and you're a legend, too. So.
Oh, well. It's the battle of the legends here tonight.
I'm always a fan at heart, first.
I'm a fan of yours, and you know, you work with a lot of people that I really love. We didn't get Wayne Kramer in here tonight,
Wayne, what
happened to Wayne?
Wayne texted me and said, he says, normally I'm in my pajamas at that time, Stevie, but I'm going to come do it. And I said, good, this will be great. And then I drove up from San Diego, and I didn't hear from him today. So I figured maybe he'll come walking in. Who knows?
Well, he is.
You know, he's a punk rocker at heart. Maybe he's just being a rebel. Yeah.
He could be. That's how they roll. Well, you know what? I'm a big fan of his. I'm a big MC5 fan because I'm from Detroit. So, you know.
Hold on. You know that when I first got up here and I was a starving musician, I started with George Clinton from Detroit, right?
Right.
But then I started working with Don Was, and I did an album called What Up Dog with Don Was, and we had a big hit called Walk the Dinosaur. But the album before that, Wayne Kramer was the guitar player.
Is that right, really?
Yeah. Wow. But I forgot until Wayne told me, yeah.
Wow, man. Well, yeah, you know, Don Was, a Detroit guy, right? And Clinton, of course, George Clinton, legend, always loved Parliament Funkadelic. Did you play with them?
Yeah, I played the first album. George discovered me. I was homeless, sleeping on the couch at Baby O Studios in L.A. in 1985, and I'd go up to musicians and I'd say, like, you know, I'd go to Gene Simmons or someone. I'd say, hey, my name's Stevie Salas. I play guitar. In case you ever need a guitar, and he'd go, like, you know, F off, you know, get out of here. Right? And I'd be like, okay, I didn't care, right? So I went up to George Clinton and David Spradley, who wrote Atomic Dog, and I said, hey, my name's Stevie Salas. I play guitar. And they're like, oh, cool. You know, that was it. And then at 3 a.m, they came in and woke me up. And go, because you want to try coming in and playing on this track we got? And I'm like, yeah. So I went in and went bananas. And then next thing you know, I was playing on the George Clinton R&B Skeletons in the Closet album. And I got my first Capitol Records royalty check. And the rest was history.
Wow. Yeah. Man, that is pretty. That's a great story.
True story. True story.
Love that. I love George Clinton.
Yeah, me too. George is in my movie Rumble, too.
Is he in the movie? Yeah. That's what we're talking about. Is your is it a documentary? Is that what you would call it? Yeah.
It's a documentary. It's a history doc, but some people call it a rockumentary. But it's a, you know, it's a history documentary. It's a really deep history film, but we have a lot of rock star TNA in there that you come in to see Steven Tyler and the Ramones and all these people and Wayne Kramer and these guys. And really, but it's a serious history film.
And they're talking about Link Wray.
Talking about Native American musicians that influenced most of the music that we know today.
Yeah, and he was really a revolutionary guy, wasn't he? Mel was telling me he was the first one to put, like, knitting needles through the amplifiers to get that sound.
Well, and, you know, that's the
is
great,
that true? Or?
Well, it's the great mystery. It's always the mystery. Supposedly, like, Dave Davies, when he was doing You Really Got Me, he was trying to get Link Wray's sound and cutting holes in the speakers.
Right.
But we don't really know. You know, I worked at the Smithsonian on the exhibit before we created the film, and we were trying to find that out. It's sort of one of those, we don't know if that's real or not.
Or urban legend or
maybe,
something.
Maybe.
Yeah.
It might be real, but, you know, I think that maybe his amplifier was just blown up. But, you know, Jeff Beck, and Jeff Beck told me that, he goes, you know, because me and Jimmy Page, when we were 17, we used to jump around playing air guitar to Rumble in my mom's house. And I'm like, I had a visual of him and Jimmy Page jumping around with playing air guitar. Because I used to play air guitar to all Jeff Beck and Jimmy Page, right?
So sure.
Yeah, so it's pretty rad.
Wow. Well, I can't wait to see this thing. Mel saw it, and he loved it. He thought it was fantastic.
Yeah, he had tears running down his eyes.
Yes. It was very educational, emotional, and enlightening. It was great.
Well, and you got some great people to come in and comment.
Well, you know, there's a lot of great people in the film, so a lot of times we have a plethora, so to speak. You know, like the other night, we had Bert Sugarman and Mary Hart hosted with Elliot Easton from The Cars, who's also nominated for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and Wayne Kramer, who's nominated for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. They came and did Q&A with me.
Great.
And the next night, I did it at another place, and Jackson Browne did the Q&A with me, and Edward James Olmos came.
Oh, good.
Yeah, it's kind of like it's becoming like a cool thing.
Yeah, well, yeah, this is something that, and Tarantino used it in the film, of course.
Well, you know,
the song,
Robert
right?
Rodriguez, who, you know, I live in Austin, Texas now, and my buddy there is the filmmaker Robert Rodriguez, and Robert is the guy who really brought Link back in films. I think it was on Road Racer, one of those films, he put Link in the script. The girl was like, the guy's like, I want to grow up and be like Link Wray. And the girl's like, who's that? And he goes, oh, he's so cool. You know. And then he would use all Link Wray music. And then Robert told me, he told Tarantino, you got to use Link Wray on the Pulp Fiction soundtrack.
Okay.
And that's really what brought it back. And then Johnny Depp and everybody else got deep into it. Yeah. And then he's everywhere, right?
Yeah, yeah. Well, that was fantastic, man. And then you really take it to the next level with this rockumentary.
Well, it's, you know, it's kind of odd that he invented the power chord and the distorted guitar, and Pete Townsend and everybody listened to him to learn how to play. Slash told me this. He said, one day I was in my hotel room and I was thinking, you know, all of us guys grew up with Clapton, Beck, Jimmy Page, Jeff Beck, you know, Jimmy Page, Clapton, Townsend. Those were our guys, you know, maybe Dave Davies from the Kinks. Those were all the guys we listened to. And then Slash says, I want to know, who did they listen to? And so he just kept coming up, Link Wray. And so that's why when I would ask guys like Slash to tell them about the film, they'd say, I want to do it, because they were truly had an admiration for Jesse Ed Davis and Link Wray and these type of musicians, Robbie Robertson and these guys. And they wanted to be in the film. That's why there's so many famous rock stars in the movie.
Yeah, oh, I'm sure. So he was a big influence to all these people, right?
You know, it's crazy. These guys are famous. Link Wray is famous with every musician. It's just the normal people that don't know who he is.
Yeah. But that's so cool that the musicians love him.
Yeah. He's got the cred for sure.
Yeah.
For sure. I mean, he was even, if you think about this, Link Wray does Rumble in 1957, right, or 58. And that's like distorted, gnarly sounding guitar, right? And he influences all those guys, and he disappears for a while. Then he comes back with the birth of punk rock, and he's in New York City in 1978 playing with Robert Gordon.
Right.
And Steve Jones, and these guys are all telling me, oh, we're all going to see Link Wray with, you know? And so now he's at the birth of punk rock, because really his music was like early heavy metal and early punk rock, right? In the 50s, really, right? So then he disappears again until Robert Rodriguez and Tarantino bring him back in film soundtracks and make him immortalize him, you know?
So he's way ahead of his time.
Just way ahead. We got to get, you know, we got him nominated for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame this year.
Good.
And we got to get him in because he should be on the Mount Rushmore of rock and roll.
You know, Mel told me, and he's right half the time. Mel was telling me that, that he actually was, that song Rumble was banned from the radio way back in the 50s because they didn't know what it was. That sound freaked them out. Is that true?
It's totally, completely, 100% true. They banned it from radio because they were in fear it was going to incite teenage gang violence. And the funny thing is, there's no words. There's no lyrics.
Yeah, right?
It's an instrumental. I mean, that's crazy, right? That's that Indian stuff coming out, though. You know, going all the way back. Here's 57. It was not that far from 1917 when they were still killing Apaches along the border of Arizona. So, you know what I mean? It's like...
Well, what tribe was he from?
He was a Shawnee.
Uh-huh.
Shawnee. And he's from North Carolina.
Oh, is he? Okay.
Yeah. But, you know, like many Native Americans, though, he would hide that. Yeah. You know, there's a line in the film where Robbie Robertson says, his mother told him, you know, be proud of who you are, but be careful who you tell.
Uh-huh.
Because, you know, and on my birth certificate, I'm Apache, and on my birth certificate, I had to get one the other day because I moved to Austin. I needed to get a Texas driver's license, right? And it said my mom and my dad were both white. So I put a thing on Facebook, I swear, and I said, and I posted the picture of my birth certificate, and I said, everybody, I got insane news. I might be white. I thought it was super funny.
Wow. Well, that'll give you a pass in Texas when you're driving.
Yeah, maybe not. Yeah.
Not these days. All right, Stevie Salas is with us, Fraser Smith Show. We're continuing here, 95.5 KLOS Rock, Southern California. I just realized I read that thing wrong. Instead of 2018, I read 2018. I thought they had 2018 vehicles available. I'm an idiot. All right, Fraser Smith Show, 95.5. Sorry I had to point that out. Stevie Salas is with us, the guitar player, man, legendary guy.
And
we were talking, he's a producer, too. We were talking about you working on American Idol.
Yeah, I did Idol. It was the enemy at first. I didn't want to do it because when
you're a rocker.
Well, when it first came out, you know, I'm a bit of a rebellious person, and it's like it stood for everything I was against, right? So I didn't want to do it. And then by about 2006, and the record business was imploding underneath all of us, my buddy Sterling McElwain, a big manager, went over there, and he goes, I need your help. You got this kid called Daughtry. So I came over, and I in 2006, and became a consultant for 19 Entertainment for Idol and a music director. And our first act was Daughtry, and I think we sold like 6 million records. So then I just kept going.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, you know, you're back on the phone with Clive Davis again. You know, it became okay again. But if I would have done it in 2000 or whenever it started, there's no way Mick Jagger would have called me to be his guitar player or his music director because he would have thought it was uncool. So, you know, you had to really pick and choose. But by 2006, it didn't matter anymore.
Who cares at that point? Yeah, let's go for it. Well, that's pretty interesting. That's cool. Now, you did play with Jagger.
Yeah, yeah.
And did you have fun doing that?
Well, that might have been the greatest experience of my life because he is the greatest rock star that ever lived.
I would agree.
And, you know, he would call me daily and he would fuss over the tiniest details. You see these young musicians today and you tell them, hey, man, that drum beat changed. Man, don't micromanage me or whatever they say. You know, it's such BS. Jagger would go over every single detail. And you think, God, you're rich beyond rich. You're super famous. You know, you're 60 years old or whatever. And you still care about every detail. And that's why he's
so
successful.
That's why he's number one.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Incredibly
I was going to ask you that. I was wondering if he was like that. I could see it, though.
You know what else he's like? He, you know how he dances on stage?
Yeah.
He does that in rehearsal.
But
I mean, like, you could just be going over, like, let's just try the intro of this song. One, two, blah, boom, blah, boom, doo, 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 doo. And he goes, and he starts dancing like Jagger. And then you stop after four bars, and he goes, oh, yeah, blah, 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 blah. And let's try it again. And then one, two, and he starts dancing again. It's unbelievable.
Wow.
And he does it for hours. Unbelievable.
Well, amazing energy, that guy.
Yeah, I was sitting in a chair. I'm like, I'm tired.
You get tired watching him.
Yeah, God, he was incredible.
What a great thing to be able to work with him.
Incredible.
And you also work with the great Rod Stewart.
Thank God for Rod Stewart. I mean, without Rod Stewart, maybe I wouldn't be sitting here right now. So Rod was my first gig. I had a band in San Diego that was my high school band. And then I moved to L.A., And my first gig I got was with Rod Stewart, and I went right to Madison Square Gardens and, you know, three nights at the LA Forum. And I had no business being in the band. I certainly wasn't good enough to be in the band, but they didn't figure that out till it was too late.
And that's, you know, always good.
It changed my life. Yeah, yeah. You know, Rod taught me how to steal limousines. I wrote a book about it, actually. And Rod taught me how to steal limousines, and Rod taught me how to rock stadiums, and taught me how to drink alcohol. He was a serious drinker. I don't know. He probably isn't now, but he was,
back then, huh?
Yeah, you know, he was truly inspiring. I love him. I love him still.
Man, you know what I like about both those guys, too, is they're both R&B fans.
All day long. All day long. And, you know, I think they liked that I was working with Funkadelic, you know, and the George Clinton guys and the Bootsy Collins guys and all that. I think that to them that was really cool because they want that rhythm and they wanted that funk in there.
And when they're just hanging out, partying, what do they listen to? They listen to, like, Motown and Sam Cooke and stuff like that?
Yeah, you know, you go to Keith Richards, you know, you go in his room and it's classic stuff, all classic, really classic stuff, all those type of bands and all this, you know, nothing heavy, more like super soul.
The old R&B.
Jagger listens to more modern stuff because he wants to hear what everyone's doing and new, and Keith is really, like, just deep into
the old school stuff.
Old school. Yeah. Woody too, and Rod too. I made the mistake one time, though. We had a horn section with Rod Stewart, and the Stone song Bitch came on the radio in our dressing room in Oklahoma or somewhere we were. And I go, wow, we should try this song one night. And he goes, that's the enemy. That's my competition. You know, he yelled at me.
Yeah. Wow.
I go, sorry.
Okay. Mr. Stewart. Yeah, you did. Well, that's true. Yeah. That's maybe why he's the enemy. Yeah.
Well, you know, he told me that Jagger swore to him at a party. He said, Mick, don't take Ronnie from me. And he goes, oh, no, Rod, I would never do that. And next thing, you know, before he knew it, Rod was on, you know, Ronnie was on tour with the Stones. Yeah,
yeah, no wonder he's the enemy.
You know, Ronnie had a lot to do with why I made the film Rumble.
He did, yeah?
Yeah, because when I was playing with Rod Stewart in 1988, 89, I started to search out other Native American musicians as a hobby. Just because I'm a Native American, I was just curious, right? Like, I certainly can't be the only guy out here doing this. And in 1994, I was in the studio with the Stones. Were doing Voodoo Lounge, I think it was, and I was hanging out in the studio with them, and Ronnie Wood told me, I asked him about this guitar that he used to play with Rod Stewart, because he was in Faces, right? And he goes, you know who gave me that guitar? And I go, who? And he goes, Jesse Ed Davis gave me that guitar. And when he said Jesse Ed Davis, he said it like he was talking about a superhero, where most people you would talk about Keith or Ronnie, like, they're the superheroes, right? To me, they were. But here was Jesse Ed Davis was his superhero. And that just blew my mind. Because this Skywind Indian guy is Ronnie Wood's hero. And how come people don't know this, you know?
Yeah.
And that sort of was a lot of the germs of where Rumble started happening.
Gave the idea to showcase the Native American players,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, and then that's why, you know, Jackson Brown and all these guys would talk about how, you know, when he played Doctor My Eyes and all these things that Jesse Ed did. And these guys were just all coming out of the woodworks, you know, singing praises.
Wow, that's great. You know, we have Pat Vegas on the show.
Pat Vegas is amazing.
Yeah, how about that band?
Redbone?
Yeah.
Come on, Guardians of the Galaxy, man.
Yeah, man. That's right. They got a whole new thing because of that.
Yeah,
right?
I think, and hopefully Pat Vegas has got a brand new house and a new car and everything to go with it from
I
that.
Sure hope so.
You know, he wrote that song, Come and Get Your Love. That's a...
Man, that's one of the best songs ever. Don't you think?
I used to dance to it in sixth grade dances. It was amazing. It's still amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we didn't get Wayne Kramer down here tonight, but... were you a fan of that Detroit sound, too, the Alice Cooper?
Big time.
You know, MC5, Seeger.
You know, you were playing the Alice Cooper, was it Billion Dollar Baby?
Yeah.
Those early records sound so insane with the way the bass was. It was so big. And I love Alice Cooper's greatest hits, the first one with Hello Hurrah and all that.
That's had a great band, didn't he?
Oh, it was the greatest.
Yeah.
The greatest. And I'm a big fan of that because there's a certain kind of a muscle that came out of Detroit, right? It was sort of...
Yeah. Yeah, it's the Motor City. Mm. Now the guy Kramer also played MC5. Almost had, they really were the early punk band. I think they had that garage feel. Them and Iggy,
mm-hmm. And they were the birth of that sort of power. It's like diesel infused rock. That's kind of, you know, it's almost like the birth of punk, really, wasn't it?
Yeah, it kind of was. That's what I was thinking. Them and Iggy and the Stooges kind of were the first ones doing that stuff.
Yeah, in our film Rumble, Wayne tells a story about how they'd go in the studio and the engineers would go, "Oh, you guys, turn that down. The guitar's too distorted." And he goes, "That's what I want."
Yeah. And Link started all that.
Yeah, Link. Well, that's what.
What do you think? Gives
Wayne
a guy,
Kramer says that in the film. He says it goes right back to Link Wray.
What do you think gives somebody the? I guess it's just having a certain natural genius. What gives somebody the impetus to go and do that way before anyone else? Like in the 50s when no one was doing music anything like that.
I can't think that he would probably go in the studio in his little chicken shack there or whatever and go, "Hey, we're going to create punk rock right now. Let's do some, here's a power chord and there's going to be a guy called Pete Townsend that's going to take this and, you know." And I think that, you know, he just did it and probably thought it sounded cool. And I'm sure people probably thought it sounded weird at the time. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's hard to say.
Well, you know what? It's really a pleasure to have you on the show.
It's great to
see you, man.
Yeah.
You're a real talented guy, and I wish you the very best with Rumble.
Yeah.
And where can people go see it?
You know what? It's now in theaters, and we're doing our Academy Award push, you know, right now. So we've been doing these screenings all over. I think last night it was in New York City. And it's also available on Amazon Prime now. You can download it and watch it there. And it's on HBO Canada right now, going on. Playing like crazy on HBO up there, and it's coming out soon on PBS Independent Lens, and it's on Arte France, Arte Germany. It's like all over the planet right now.
We got to get you on the short list.
Yeah, we got to get on that short list. If we get on that short list, then I'll buy the box of donuts when I come back.
That's a deal, my friend. There you go. All right. Well, Stevie Salasung, thank you so much for coming by tonight, man.
So good to see you guys.
Great to see you. We're gonna play Link. We're gonna play Jack the Ripper next. Yeah. All right, here we go. 95.5 KLOS. Thank you, buddy. Tom Petty. 95.5 KLOS, the Rock of Southern California. You don't have to live like a refugee, although Mel chooses to. 95.5. And I want to thank Stevie Salas. Stevie was fantastic. Great guitar player. Legendary. Played with Jagger, Aerosmith, everybody. Really talented guy. Joining us right now, he's the king of show business. He is. He is the king. Undisputed. He's a manager. He's managed some of the biggest talent in this business. He's also a TV producer. He's had many shows on television. And he is the great Barry Katz. There he is.
Frazier, it's unbelievable the introductions you give me.
Man, you deserve it, Barry Katz, because of the great things you've done.
I tell you, man, I think this is the only radio show in history where the donuts headline it.
The donuts are the big hit. People come down for the donuts and leave quickly after they're gone. Yeah. It's good to see you. And how was your Thanksgiving? Did you have a good one?
It was an amazing time. You know, family, it's just, I don't know, there's just something about it. You learn something about everybody every time you go. And I think one of the unique things about it is there's always people there that you have the feeling that they may not be there the next year. And so you get this time with them that's solemn, but it's beautiful, and it's a great situation.
That really is, and it's very important because of what you just said. All right, Barry Katz is with us, you know, and he has his podcast, Industry Standard. It's really a big hit. Everyone is listening to that podcast, and you have some of the biggest people in show business on the show.
Thanks, man. It's been incredible. You know, when you do something, everybody out there listening, as crazy as this sounds, we all have to start at 00 with whatever we do, whatever we want to do. And I started the podcast really late because I don't do it for making a living. I do it because I'll tell you why I do it. Because when you're a manager, the great part about being a manager is, for instance, I've represented six people on SNL and one guy who hosted twice and when you can get something like that to happen with their talent and yours, you kind of go home and you put your feet up and you're like, I can do this.
Yeah.
But then you realize as the night goes on and it wears down and you're putting your head down to sleep that technically you've only helped one person. Yes, through their talent and yours, obviously millions of people get to see and inspired by the performances in NBC and Lorne. But in the end, you're only helping one person. And I thought to myself, I used to go in these incredible meetings with these network presidents, and I'd get in my car when I went home, and I'd be like, I can't believe I was the only one who got to hear those stories. And so I thought, God, if I could only get some of these network presidents and studio heads and also great comedians, because I started as a stand-up telling, you know, their road from humble beginnings and how they got from 0-0 to where they are now, and all the ups and downs, and how their legs got broken, and how they failed, and how they persevered, and that's what I wanted to do. So I started with Doug Herzog, who at the time was the president of Viacom Entertainment and oversaw Comedy Central and Spike.
Sure,
and so many
huge.
Different.
Yeah.
And once you get a guy like that, then you are able to get people like Chris Albrecht, who, as you know, was a doorman at the Improv when he started out, and then he became the CEO of HBO and the president and CEO of Starz now.
Chris was my agent back in the day.
Yeah, he was an agent at ICM when he represented Eddie Murphy and a bunch of different other people as well. So the great part about the podcast is that, and I guess it's a metaphor for everybody, it's never too late to start. And you go into everything you do with the conviction that you're going to do great work. Now, I used to tell stories and meetings with clients, and sometimes they'd roll their eyes, and I thought to myself, God, maybe these stories aren't great. Maybe I'm not as great at interviewing these people as I think, but I think things turned out okay, and people listen, and I've
got 4 million followers, man. You're doing something right. You know what? I want to ask you, though, and stop me if I've asked you this before, but what would you take
from
all these big... Okay. Show's over.
No, kidding.
You know, all these people that you've had on the show, what would be the one ingredient that you think they all share that helped them become successful?
Well, I think one of the things they all share is that I think they would all say that they look at failure as the launch pad to success. And if they were a network president, they would say, listen, we're renting the chair. We rent the chair, we ride the bull as long as we can, and when we get thrown off, we get back up, dust ourselves off, and figure out another direction to use all the things we used in that job to be successful in the next thing.
Well, if failure's the key, I should be gigantic.
Major.
You know, but I see what you're saying, though. Those people are all realize that failure's part of the whole journey, and that they're not afraid of it. In other words, if they fail, they just keep moving, because eventually they're going to hit on the right thing. Is that correct?
Absolutely. Look at somebody like Judd Apatow. I did an interview with Judd. I'll never forget, he had said, let's do it at 8 o'clock in the morning, and I only have an hour. And it was so great because, like, at the hour mark, I'm starting to wrap up, and his assistant comes in, and he says to the assistant, go in the other
aisle.
And he kept coming in, and I had him for 2 hours and 45 minutes, and which shocked me because I started the interview off, because I never know what I'm going to say in the beginning. That's one thing that's improvised is the cold open, where I look at my guest and I never know where I'm going to go, but I feel like I can channel something that means something in the episode. And I started his podcast with these words, something to the effect of, when I look at you, Judd, I don't think of success. I think of failure. Because he failed 8 times in a row before he finally made it.
Uh-huh.
And if you think that you're just going to write a script and you send it around and people don't like it, and then you're like, I guess I'm not a good writer, well, then it's not, this business isn't meant for
you. No, it's not meant for you, because that happens to everybody, even with the biggest scripts.
Absolutely.
Many times they get passed on by almost everyone, and then finally someone sees it. And
I want to tell you a great story about scripts, because I think you'll enjoy this, and hopefully we'll have time to get to the questions before this guy throws me off the air.
It's coming quickly, Barry, so hurry.
So you don't have time for the story?
No, we do have time for
this. This is great. So what happened was, this guy Mario Casar, who was from Lebanon, he became a big film producer. He did Rambo and Terminator and Chaplin and so many different things. And he got a call from the president of ICM about a script. He said, read it. I want you to read it this morning because, you know, it's really important that you read it. And I'm going to give you the first shot for $250,000. And the guy says, what are you talking about? That's the most money I've ever heard of a script being paid. He says, listen, please read it. He says, I'm going to London. I read it on the plane. Call me when you get back to London. 7 hours later, he reads it, likes it. He calls and the president of ICM. He says, I love it. I'd like to have the script. He says, listen, I don't know how to tell you this, but I sent it around town while you were in London, and it's going to cost you a little bit more money. The guy says, what do you mean more money? How much is it? Well, it's at $2.75 million right now.
Wow.
He says, are you kidding me? You told me I was going to have it. I'm sorry, man. If you want it, you're going to have it for $3 million. He says, I'll buy it for $3 million. Burn my phone number. And that, and that script was Basic Instinct.
Oh, my God. Great story.
Incredible stuff, man.
Look what 7 hours can do.
Yeah. Yeah. I love talking to you because there's so many things to talk about.
Man,
and
that's
there's
a great story.
Never enough time.
Well, we're going to have to do it again next week. And, I just want to say, that, you know, the Beatles got passed on by every record label. And finally, the last one they went to, EMI, signed them.
That's right. And I know he wants to do spots, but
we got to go.
I know he wants to do spots. We got to go. I'm so sorry.
I love you, Barry Katz.
I love these
spots.
You're
the king of showbiz.
Thank you for supporting the podcast. I appreciate it.
It's great. Industry standard. Check it out, guys. It is the Rock Southern California 95.5 KLS Fraser Smith, Fraser Smith Show. And
No.
Yes. What is that? Don Ferris.
Yeah, I know.
From the Ding Dong Show.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
What's happening,
I can't
pal?
Believe it. How do you get in here?
Hey, guys.
Every week.
Okay, let's just put it
there's
this
Mary
way.
Jane.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Hi, Fraser.
Very good. All right.
Hey, Skits, what's happening?
Hey, how you doing?
Good, buddy. Good,
You've
Skits.
Actually talked to everybody now. Now, let me tell
Don,
you
Don, how are
we're
you?
Here.
Yeah.
If that's okay,
that's,
by the way,
that's fine.
The only guy smiling. Where'd Mel go? Mel left.
Well, you
is
know,
he kissing Barry's ass
probably,
right now.
Probably.
Okay, Barry will never do anything for him. It doesn't matter.
You're right about that.
Okay, so here's the thing. I've been listening, and I listened tonight, and as hard as it is, Keith.
Oh wow,
my buddy Keith, who happens to be your boss,
my
and
boss.
I'm not trying to drop that in there, but I pointed out how you never promote us. There's no build up to us coming on the show.
Well, we usually don't know you're going to be
okay.
Here.
Well, then after you don't
security.
Talk to other guests about us, like wasn't that great?
Well, Mel, you're the one who's in charge of promoting the upcoming acts.
Yeah, why aren't we there?
Never
yeah,
mentioned. We're never mentioned.
Never mentioned at the beginning of the show. Thank you. This is why your job is safe. And I'll tell you.
Oh,
let
man.
Me just tell you this.
He turned. Did you see that?
Yeah.
Okay. Listen. Hey, here's the deal. Huh? He gets it. I don't think you guys spent any time on Thanksgiving with Keith, your boss.
What?
Yeah, because we're friends.
You were at Keith's house for Thanksgiving?
I told you his family loves me. You don't think they're going to have me over for a big family feast? Yes,
jeez.
Of course I was there.
You're hanging out at Thanksgiving with my boss.
Well, not only that, but that's where
wow.
Keith asked me if I would be the guy that would direct your little party for Christmas, the KLOS Christmas party. So,
what?
Guys, I said yes. I'm directing it. And guess what else? Here's the part you're going to be
the KLOS dancing. Christmas pageant that they do every year?
Yes.
You're the director?
Yes.
Yes.
I thought you were the director.
Well, I thought I was, too. I can't believe
yeah, that's,
you're going to.
That's what we talked about. Don't
maybe
worry.
Maybe you can be the third assistant AD or
no,
something.
No. I'll introduce you for giving us our start here. That's nice of you.
Thanks. So you're directing this thing?
Yeah, I'm not only am I directing it, but during the show, when we're dancing, guess who's going to be DJing the whole thing? That's right, me. But guess who also bring? DJ ex-president Millard Fillmore will be there.
Oh, no.
Well, hello. I'm Millard Fillmore. Hi, kids. I was your 13th president of the United States, and I'm going to be your disc jockey, and let's... party.
Well, that was really, you really did that wonderfully. You really beat the script
well. Oh, well, okay.
So that's what's happening for Christmas. So, you know what? Somebody knows to be nice to me. I've never been mean to you. You've never been mean to me, and I'll remember that.
So let me get this straight. You're directing the Christmas pageant. What's it going to be this year? What's the plan?
A lot of it, Keith wants me to do a lot of my act. He loves my squirrel routine.
Your squirrel routine?
Yeah.
Really? So you're just going to be doing some of your stand-up?
I'm going to do my stand-up, and then we're going to be DJing. We're going to do some ding-dong show. People are going to come in. We may even build a human pyramid with the rest of the crowd there. So, Fraser, get close. Keith will be there.
Oh, man.
Hey, Mel, maybe I could introduce you to Keith so you know who your boss is.
Even I have to laugh at that one. That
you should. Good. It's funny as hell.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, anyway, I would like to say something, and it would be smart. Since Keith has said, hey, how would you like to work late nights on Sunday? And I said, no, my friend does that hour. We're going to be doing something here. And guess who we'd want to run our sound? Can you be zany? Do something zany.
Okay.
Yeah, Kid Cougar, is that who you're talking about?
And why don't you belittle him more? Does he have a first name?
Yeah, Mike.
Yeah, why don't you call him Mike?
That's his.
That's my pal Mike. My pal Mike. A lot nicer than Kid Cougar. Yeah, okay, okay. Right. Oh, okay. All right, listen. So here's what I like to do.
Do you have a sponsor? I heard you had a sponsor.
Do
red
me a favor.
Nail polisher.
Oh, shiny red nail polish. That's very funny. But do me a favor. When I'm talking, just shut up.
Okay. Okay.
All right, here's what I'd like you to do. Every time we come in here, it's more like, oh, look who broke in here. I have a better way to introduce this. Why don't we try this script right here? Let's see if you can do that.
All right, he's handed me a script.
Yeah, I know that. Wait a minute. No, you read that, and then you improvise after that. So that, I'll give you a little space.
I'll just read it.
All right, here we go.
Oh, look at this, guys. It's our favorite guests.
Now, you guys should
come on the show.
Wait, hold on. Stop right there. Mel, act like you're excited to see us. All right, try it again from the beginning.
Oh, look at this, guys. It's our favorite guests that come on the show. It's Don Barris and some of the cast of the Ding Dong Show.
Hey, guys. How are you? Hey.
Now, if you've never seen the Ding Dong Show live, it is truly something that you have to do if you're ever in Los Angeles on a Monday night.
I got to tell you.
You can go to the Comedy Store, 10 o'clock.
Who did a better job reading, you or Schizo right there for his part right there? Okay, come on. Listen, you've got to promote us a little bit, and then you're supposed to say something else. Say something nice about us.
Well, the Ding Dong Show is funny, and it's off the wall, and you never know what's going to happen, and it's always exciting.
It's the longest-running show in the history of the Comedy Store.
Longest-running of the Comedy Store, yeah. Is it really?
Yeah, it really is. Two movies have been made from it, but you don't ever push
I do.
That.
I know what they are, though. Windy City Heat.
Yeah?
Starring Scary Gary.
Scary Perry.
Perry.
And the Ding Dong Show. Hey, why don't you bring Barry Katz back in here? Maybe we can do that, because I'm out of here.
Oh, not just a second. Ding Dong Show's painted on the Comedy Store wall?
I didn't hear that,
Mary
Jane.
I knew that, yeah.
The Ding Dong Show's painted on the Comedy Store wall.
Yeah, I know it.
Okay.
And so before we go, if there's anything you'd like to ask Mary Jane, because I will say this, I don't know if you noticed, we don't have Stardust here tonight.
Now, where is Stardust?
Okay, well, she has been talking to somebody, and I told Keith about this, and he's a little upset. And the reason we're filming you right now is because Keith, who never listens to the show, wants to see what goes on. So I told him I would film how you are. Now, the question...
That.
I'm going to ask my pal over there, my pal Mike, as I like to call him, his nickname in my show. My pal Mike, is there anybody in this room that has ever said anything bad to Stardust?
You mean with the mic on or off?
Yeah, with the mic on.
I mean, I can't think of anybody. I mean, we all love Stardust.
See?
My, Frasier
my
and
pal Mike,
now.
My ex-pal Mike?
First of all,
what?
And I apologize even though I didn't do it.
Okay. You don't remember, because Stardust is the love child of David Bowie, Mr. Fun over here called Stardust's mom a whore.
I never did that.
Okay, well, listen.
Mike, I never did
that's
that.
That's what we did. All right, thanks a lot,
happened.
Mike.
And
maybe
you threatened to physically assault her.
Maybe you're. Yes. Maybe you should watch your job,
yes.
Mike.
Maybe, oh,
maybe you're not so safe after all. Let's get out of here.
Oh, wow. All right, well, that's Don Barris and the Ding Dong Show. They're at the Comedy Store, the longest running show ever at the Comedy Store.
13th caller gets a free car.
Now, wait a minute. You can't do that. 95.5. Yeah, 95.5 KLOS, the Rock of Southern California. Frazier Smith on the Frazier Smith Show. And that was Foo Fighters. I want to thank Mel's getting ready to clap. Thank you. We now have a much bigger audience than when we started the show. So that's good, because it sounds like we actually have a crowd. All right. Joining us right now, we've had some amazing guests tonight. And this is an amazing guest right here, Pat Vegas.
Hey,
yeah. From Redbone. Redbone. You know, Mel put Redbone up on the website, and everybody... weighed in on it. Everyone loves that band, man.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
I love that. Thank you so much, man.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And you have one of the best songs ever written. Right?
Yeah.
Come and Get Your Love. That's not one of the best songs ever.
It's got its own.
And you got a new life.
It's got its own life. You know, well,
Guardians of the Universe has brought you back, bro.
Oh, Galaxy. Absolutely. He's got seven-year-old fans and adult fans and middle-aged fans. Everywhere.
Yeah.
Everywhere. I mean, it's just incredible. My website is going crazy.
That's great. Good for you.
They just want to talk to me and ask me anything, you know.
You know, that's pretty cool. Me too, but I have nothing to say. Now, I want to ask you about you did second midnight special.
Yes, we did.
With the Wolfman.
Yes. The Wolfman was a real good friend of ours.
Was he?
Yes. He used to invite us up to his house, and we used to sit around. And as a matter of fact, one night I was sitting there, and he got up and went to the kitchen and said, oh, by the way, catch the mic. He had me go on the air and cover for him for about 15 minutes while he went to the kitchen.
That's an old DJ trick.
Yeah.
In fact, I got to go to the bathroom now.
Take over, Pat. He caught me unprepared, so I did it.
Oh, that's great, man. Well, the Wolfman was an amazing guy.
He was. He's an unbelievable guy. Talented. He's just a great friend.
Now, when you played Midnight Special, did you play live?
Live. It was live.
Wow. Right there.
The dancing, everything, you know.
So you had to be on point.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Don't miss a lick. If you do, you're in trouble.
That's national TV, man. That's fantastic. Yeah. And when you wrote this song, what gave you the inspiration to write that great song?
Well, you know, we had so much turmoil and times, things that we went through at the time. And one of the things that I always said to Lolly, and we always discussed, I said, hey, man, love will see us through.
Uh-huh.
You know, and so we kept saying that.
That's a good theme.
Yeah, love will see us through, and especially when things got bad, you know. So all of a sudden one day we're sitting around writing, and Lolly said, I've got this idea for this song, man, but it goes like this. I want to give you my love, and I sat down with the song. I structured it, and then I said, no, now it's come and get your love.
You just rearranged that title.
Yes, I brought it into focus.
And it worked.
Used to be 16 minutes there, Pat, or something, that originally?
Yeah, originally it was released on Epic, and it was like 7 minutes long, right?
Yeah.
So Epic said, no, we can't. It's just they dropped it, right? So I went in the studio that following night, and with Cy Mitchell, a friend of mine, an engineer, and we went into Wally Hyder's, and I edited it from 7 minutes to 2:56, and I called Lolly over to the studio the next day and said, I was in there all night, and I said, Lolly, listen to this and tell me what you think. He listened to the song and said, I don't hear anything different.
Well, it's 10 minutes shorter.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. So, you know what? You got to keep radio in mind, right, in terms of the length
of everything. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, you got to be considerate, you know?
No, they just play a certain amount.
Yeah.
Hey, that's fantastic, though. Now, Native American music, we had Stevie Salison here a little bit earlier, and he was talking about. Are you guys friends?
Yes.
He was talking about Link Wray.
Oh, Link Wray, yeah. That's what
was he song, an inspiration for you?
The first song I ever heard, I think. I think when I was a kid.
The Rumble song?
Yeah. When I heard that drum, 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 I said, oh, God, I love that. You know, so that started me playing, you know.
Did it? Yeah.
Yeah.
I think for a lot of people, he was mentioning his, his documentary that he's got, and he said a lot of the rockers, that was their favorite. God.
That was the first thing I ever learned how to play.
Was it? The Rumble thing?
It's just two strings, right? The two strings and the one A chord. I mean,
But it's got that distorted sound that later became, you know, so popular.
I heard that he took a knife and put holes in his speakers.
That's what we were talking about earlier.
Yeah. And that's how you got that sound, man. But what it started is unbelievable.
It really started something, didn't it?
Yeah. Man.
Now, you also wrote a song about Wounded Knee, right?
Yes. We wrote, I think that was banned in America, by the way.
It was?
Yes, it was banned in America, and they refused to play it. CBS wouldn't, you know, back it, you know. But in Europe, it became the biggest selling record of that year.
Did it? Yeah.
Yeah. It was number one on every chart in Europe.
Wow. You know, I went to Wounded Knee.
You did?
Yeah. I did stand-up North Dakota and South Dakota with my buddy J.R. Redwater.
Yeah.
And I did. Do you know J.R.?
Yeah, I know J.R.
He's a great comic, right?
Yeah,
cool guy.
Cool guy.
He's a great guy. Yeah. And we went up and we played on the Rez.
And you guys just had a ball.
I had more fun. I didn't know what I was getting into, and I had more fun.
I know.
It was just awesome.
Yeah.
But I have to say, Wounded Knee, I actually felt something there. I felt like a pain. Being there, the pain of what the PO sadness, I guess, would be what I felt.
You know what the thing about Wounded Knee that we wrote? I wrote it with a comedian, a comic that was pretty well known. Woody Allen did a film called Broadway Danny Rose, which was about him, and it was Sandy Baron.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. I wrote it with him. We're co-writers.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Wow, Sandy Baron.
We were all wounded. They wounded me, Sandy Baron, and I wrote that.
Oh, man, that's awesome.
Yeah, Sandy was a great friend. He's a great guy.
Yeah, would never have guessed you as a songwriting team.
Oh, yeah.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pat Vegas is with us. It's the Fraser Smith Show. It's 95.5 KLOS, The Rock of Southern California. One of the best ever, guys.
Oh, thank you.
Come and get your love.
Yeah.
Pat Vegas, Redbone, 95.5 KLOS. It is timeless. That's a song you could play anytime, anywhere.
Anytime, anywhere, for sure.
Wow. Did you know that when you wrote it?
No.
You
had no idea.
Just another one. another song where you...
Yeah, you know, you just put it together. But once I edited it, and once I cut it from seven minutes to 2:56, I knew it was something.
You know it's good when you cut it down?
Yeah. I knew it.
And your brother Lolly was playing guitar on
that. Yes, Lolly was playing guitar.
You were playing bass.
Bass. And I think it was Pete DePoe on drums, and Tony Bellamy on rhythm guitar.
Ah.
And Tony's from Orange County, and Peter's from Seattle, Washington. He's on the res right now listening.
Is he? Oh, Pete, what's happening, man?
Peter, what's up, buddy?
He's a res dog.
Yeah.
Wow, man. Yeah. Well, that is pretty awesome. I mean, that's just a classic song. And you're doing a Indigenous Music Awards show.
Yes.
Coming up in May, next May, in Winnipeg.
Winnipeg.
You know, I was watching the Canadian Super Bowl tonight.
In the snow.
Couldn't even see the game. And Shania Twain, I was saying, she did the halftime show. They brought her in a dog sled.
Oh, my God.
She looked confused.
You know, my son PJ over here works with Taboo.
Oh, is that right?
Black Eyed Peas.
Oh, cool.
They just got
PJ.
He did an actual halftime show for the Super Bowl and actually flew in on a Tron motorcycle. So,
well, you got her beat with the dog sled.
Yeah,
that's pretty cool, man.
Yeah.
Wow. How's your band? What's the name of your band?
Actually, it's a group that we got right now called Mag 7, the Magnificent 7. It's a collective of Native American artists, like rappers, singers, poets, from all over the world. And Taboo from Black Eyed Peas brought us together to create a song for the people of Standing Rock, the Sioux tribe in South Dakota. When that whole thing was happening, when they were going to put a pipeline through Native American tribal land, of course, everyone was against it. And they tried to get, you know, the government to see that that was wrong, but they wouldn't listen. So they had to take it to the land, to their land, and protest and basically say, you guys aren't going to get past us. So they had a protest for a while, and they were just, you know, facing crazy circumstances.
They took it to the street, you know.
So, yes, they did.
You know, for us to help, because, you know, some of us couldn't actually be in Standing Rock with the people fighting on the front lines, so we made a song to try to reach the masses of people to try to bring awareness.
That's
so
great. You're bringing awareness.
Yeah. It actually won a MTV Video Music Award for Best Fight Against the System, the actual music video.
Did it really? Oh, congratulations, PJ. That's awesome, buddy.
So our point got across, and it was good to actually do something and kind of follow my father's footsteps and my uncle and kind of the activist role and bringing awareness to problems in, like, the Indian country and stuff like that.
Absolutely, man. Yeah, that's fantastic.
Yeah, beautiful. I'm proud of my son.
Well, you should be.
Yeah.
And you really were a pioneer in that area as well.
Yes.
For Native American music culture.
Link Ray was out there, but nobody knew he was Native American because...
Oh, well, that's what Stevie was saying earlier, he didn't...
He didn't announce it. But when we got up there, I said, damn the torpedoes, and we just did it.
We're going for it.
Yeah, we're going for it.
Yeah. Right.
I can duck. I'm fast.
Well, you got to be quick.
You got to be quick.
Well, that's good, man. And did you have fun in those days when this was mid-70s when that song came out? That just seemed like such a cool era
music was everywhere.
Like we were saying, midnight special shows like that were on the air.
Yeah, we were touring with people like, we were touring with Black Sabbath, Humble Pie, touring with Rod Stewart, Grand Funk Railroad, Doobie Brothers, Steely Dan.
But no names.
And shout out to Bert Sugarman for creating that platform for
I love Bert Sugarman, man.
We met again for the second time.
We got to meet him the other day at the screening of Rumble at the Grammy Museum.
He is legendary.
He's pretty good.
He's a great guy, man. Yeah. He just hasn't changed a bit.
Yeah.
That's unaffected.
Yeah, that's cool, man. It's cool when you see that, right?
Yeah. It is.
Now, are you still writing songs?
Still writing, and I've got 3 albums out now that I've produced myself. Because I have a lot of outtakes stuff from Redbone material from the past, and I'm kind of putting it together, you know. Because, I mean, it's timeless, you know, and it's something that people really want. You know, they asked for me. I mean, they constantly asked for it. Yeah. So I'm putting together these albums. I got one called Buffalo Blues out. Yeah. I've got one called Peace Pipe. And I got one, the latest one called Powwow Man.
Oh, man, that sounds good. Mel wants to hear Peace Pipe.
Yeah, you got
for
it.
For obvious reasons. All right, let's see what we got here. Oh, the Witch Queen of New Orleans. Yeah, I knew that was coming out.
Yeah, I know her well.
Yeah, I bet you did, my friend. All right, Pat Vegas is with us from Redbone. Fraser Smith Show, 95.5 KLOS. Yeah, man, she'll put a spell on you, Pat.
Right.
Watch out.
Yeah.
95.5 KLOS, the Rock Sound of California. Fraser Smith, Fraser Smith Show,
hey,
Pat
Fraser.
Vegas.
My man, Frazier.
Man, you're a cool dude, bro. You got some of the best songs. You wrote them.
Yes,
that's
sir.
Pretty impressive, man.
Yeah.
All right, so we're going to mention all your stuff. But first of all, now, do you still, what do you think about all the bands that play the casinos?
Oh, the thing that bothers me is that they're booking very few native acts.
Well, that's what I was wondering.
Yeah, yeah. That's
do you get
thing.
Taken care of there or no?
Yeah, that's the thing that bothers me, because they're hiring a lot of country western and which is legit, you know. It's good.
Yeah.
They're great artists. But they should bring in some Native American artists, you know.
Well, I agree.
To spice up everything.
Sure, absolutely.
Yeah, and that's the only beef I have.
Yeah. Well, no, that makes sense, though.
Yeah.
All right, so, and then we're going to mention the thing once again, the Indigenous Music Awards, May 18th, if you're in the Winnipeg area, which I know I often am, up there in Manitoba, Canada.
Yes, lovely up there.
Yeah, it really is.
Redbone's receiving the Lifetime Achievement Award.
Oh, well, as you should.
Yeah.
That's fantastic, man. Fantastic. All right, we also want to plug once again Mag 7.
Yes, PJ's, sir. PJ Vegas checking in from San Fernando Valley, representing Mag 7, all my brothers and sisters. If you guys want to find me, you guys can find me on @TheRealPJVegas on Instagram or all social media. I also have an album out right now called On My Way. A bunch of the stuff was produced by my pop, so if you like his music, come check it out on iTunes, PJ Vegas, On My Way.
Beautiful, man.
Yeah,
and let's plug the podcast. You got your podcast.
Yeah, it's called Chance to Have It All podcast. We're on Colt Radio at 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time every Sunday. It's a great, funny humor show, great stories, great Redbone music, unsigned artists, and 30 minutes uninterrupted good stuff. Check it out. You can check it out, Chance to Have It All, on Podomatic or iTunes.
Very good. Cool.
Thank
Very
you
good.
So
All
much.
Right, you guys. It's really good to see the Vegas crew.
Thank you, Frazier.
And
so
nice
much.
To have you on the show.
Thank you, Frazier. You're my man. You're my favorite.
Well, you say that to all the DJs.
You and Mel.
Well, now that you added Mel, I don't know. But listen, it's great to see you, and I am a big fan of yours, and you're a classic, man.
God bless you.
God bless you, my friend. You guys, thanks so much for coming by tonight. We appreciate it. Redbone, Pat Vegas, it's 95.5 KLOS. It's the Rock of Southern California. Yeah, Elvis Costello on the Rock of Southern California and this year's girl. 95.5 KLOS, Fraser Smith on the Fraser Smith Show. I want to thank Pat Vegas and the gang from Redbone, the band Redbone. Very nice to have him on the show. Joining me right now, my old friend. He's a pastor. He's a director. He does it all. He's Trey Fernald.
Hey, Fraser. How's it going, man?
I'm good, buddy. Good to see you.
You too.
And your wife is here, your lovely wife?
Yes. This is my wife, Ariel Fernald.
Hi, Fraser.
So
good
how
to
are
see
you, my
you.
Friend? Good to see you, too. And we have another friend with us.
Pastor Timmy Ritz. He is not only a pastor in North Hollywood over a jump in church, but he's a choreographer with his wife, and they've worked with Madonna, Will Smith. They are choreographer fiends, man. They're amazing.
They're very talented, and I've known them for a long time, and I'm proud of them for starting their own church.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, you did a great job, man.
Thank you.
It's good to see you, too. All right, Trey, before we get started, because I know you have a project that we're going to talk about in just a second, but
yes.
I want to cry a little bit on your shoulder about our football teams.
Oh, come on.
Come on, man. What happened to the Wolverines this year?
I thought with my team doing bad, I could jump on your bandwagon.
Didn't happen. Yeah, because we were worse than you guys.
Oh, my goodness.
You're Oklahoma State.
Yes.
Yeah, and neither of us did what I think we expected.
Oh, man. We came in with such high hopes.
Yeah.
You know, hope springs eternal, and now we don't have it.
Right? We like college football, but you know what's funny? Once your team, you know your team's out of it, I can't even watch it anymore.
Yeah, it's tough.
I just have to stop.
Yeah.
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 Well, you know what? I'm a fan of all your stuff. You are a really good director and writer, too. You write a lot of this stuff. And When we were going to the same church, you had put on many, many plays. The one I remember was The Last Appeal.
Yes.
Which was just a big hit.
Yeah.
And,
yeah,
you made it into a movie.
Yes.
Which I'm really proud of you for. That's fantastic.
Oh, thank you.
And everyone gets something out of this piece. I mean, it's really something that you can learn from, has impact. And I came up with one the second to Last Appeal because I felt like there was like little less pressure.
Every
you knew there was one more appeal coming, so you were
every
okay.
Film needs a spoof.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. The other one I loved was Leaving the South Side.
Yes,
was another one of yours. Yeah. Wasn't that good, Timmy?
That was brilliant.
Yeah,
loved it.
I always loved that too.
A lot of fun.
Yeah, that was kind of a Western meets Chicago, right?
Yeah,
really is what it was.
Absolutely.
Yeah, very good. And this new thing that you have, it's called This Is Christmas. Discover the True Gift. And it's coming up December 9th it starts?
Yes.
Yeah. And where is it going to be?
We debut December 9th in North Hollywood at Life 150 Church right there on Varna Avenue. And we're so excited about it. And there's professional choreography, professional actors. It's just going to be amazing. It's just it's fun, but it's gut-wrenching as well.
It's got a message.
Yeah.
Yeah. And all your stuff does. And, you know, it's a Christian message. It's a great message. And you know, it's also super entertaining. Everything that you do has a fun aspect to it. You have really great performers. And, you know, and where do you find these people? Where do you always cast some amazing people?
Well, a wise man once told me when I first got into live presentations in theater in Los Angeles is never stop auditioning. He said, man, no matter what you do, do not stop auditioning.
So that's where I've gone wrong. It wasn't really my idea to stop. Yeah, so I should have.
There's going
to
be an audition at KLOS here. But yeah, he told me that, and we just kind of lived up to that, and we've been auditioning throughout the years. It's been 9 years now, going on 10, and we've got some of the best Christian acting talent and singing talent and dance talent in our ministry.
Amazing talent, you know, and I always wonder where you find them. You know, I want to ask you a general question. Mm-hmm. Would you recommend acting classes or screenwriting classes to people?
Yes.
Do you think it's important to do that?
Along with doing your gift.
In other words, don't just take the classes.
Yeah,
get out there and try to.
Which happens a lot. People take their classes and they go home and just hope the phone rings. You know, you got to get out there and while you're taking class, and I know Pastor Timmy would agree with dancing.
Yeah.
You got to take your class, but you got to get out there and do it too. Act or sing or dance, whatever it is you do, you got to go do it. Even if it's a show where you're volunteering your time, at least you're using your gift and eventually it's going to get honed in and really good.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So you can't just take the class. You have to get out there and work it.
Yeah, yeah. Totally.
Okay. Can you give us an idea about what This Is Christmas, Discover the True Gift is about?
Absolutely. I'm going to have my wife jump in and share a little bit because she has helped me produce this thing along with
Ariel
Pastor
does. She does all this stuff with you. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, This Is Christmas I'm really excited about because it is a dramedy. So it's a comedy and drama mashed together, which is what most of what we do at the Eastern
Sky.
Yeah,
yeah.
But, you know, just even in the title, This Is Christmas, sometimes we find ourselves at the holidays thinking everybody is singing, you know, Zippity-Doo-Dah Day and, you know, Santa Claus is coming to town. And it can actually be a time of year where we stop and we're like, okay, it's supposed to be Christmas, but it's like, hey, this is Christmas, you know, like there's the good times and the bad times are all still happening,
sure,
no matter what the holiday is.
That's right.
And so that's what you get to see in this. We get to really follow a family that is going through some challenges. It's kind of the best of times and the worst of times for them. And we get to see how God moves through their lives and in the lives of those around them as well. And as Trey mentioned earlier, it's a story that has a lot of hope. It has a lot of encouragement for the season. And I think people will really find themselves in the characters and understanding, hey, I've been in that situation before myself, you know. And then we're just super excited to have Word in Motion Dance be a part of this. We have teamed up with them on different things in the past, and it's been a while since we've done something big like this.
Yeah.
And they are just
Best. Great dancers.
Just phenomenal choreography and creativity that comes out of Timmy and Ari Ritz, too.
They are awesome. Yeah.
One of the
Where's Ari?
Ari's sitting at home with the three dogs that we just adopted, and
she's probably she's the only sane one.
I
sleeping.
Hope those dogs are listening to my show.
Yeah, she's listening in.
One of the biggest dog audiences out there.
Yeah.
Well, please tell her hi. I love
I
her.
Will.
She's great and
she
great dancer.
You.
You know, and you know that all the people you have involved are always top notch. I always am amazed at how many really talented people you find. And you're right about the holidays. It has both sides, doesn't it?
Yeah,
it does.
There is that angst and that some people are not having a good time over the holidays, and so you bring them some hope here, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Well, that is really good. And Eastern Sky, you've done such a great job. You've got the movie. What was the response to the movie on The Last Appeal?
It has been amazing, and we finally signed distribution. But before that happened. By the grace of God, we were able to get into over 1 billion homes and phones.
Wow.
So which means millions and millions of people have seen it. And,
that's fantastic.
Yeah, it's through television and digital platform and a lot of live viewings of the film. We also did real well on the film festival circuit. We won 12 awards in 8 festivals.
Wow.
Yeah. We're very excited about this film. It's called The Last Appeal. It'll be on Walmart shelves in the new year in 2018.
Wow. When you make it to Walmart.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's a big
it's
time
over.
Right there.
Yeah. It's over.
Hang your hat. It's over.
Yeah. Yeah. We're planning our retirement now.
Well, You should be. Yeah. The hard part is getting out of Walmart.
Yeah.
Well, you know what, man? I mean, I'm always rooting for you. You guys have been great to me, and I'm proud of Timmy. And Ari, for starting that church, that's really a good thing. It's not easy to do. You did a great job.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Their dance troupe is one of the better Christian dance troupes in Southern California.
They're top notch.
They're just unbelievable. Yeah.
And actually, I got to give them a plug in the sense that they also, their Word in Motion is the dance troupe that he's talking about. And, to me, you should tell them more about you guys have classes, you have like online Connect and all kind of stuff going on.
Yeah, we have an art center also at the church. It's called Connect LA Art Center. And we do operate as a dance studio, but we also intertwine and we're developing and establishing drama and music and such. So we're training people and allowing an environment where people feel safe to grow in their artistic gifts and such. So
that's great.
And it's pretty phenomenal. We have 3 kids, as you know, Fraser, and all 3 of them have had the opportunity to be trained and have some of the experience with Word Motion Dance, including their Urban Dance Festival, which, when is that this coming up in 2018?
Well, we're actually going to take it on the road this year.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Very
well,
cool.
Oh, that's a real cool deal. That's a real cool thing. Yeah, and you're welcome to come back and
sure.
Talk about that if you like when it's happening. You guys go and see This Is Christmas, Discover the True Gift, and it's going to be at the what's the name of the theater?
It's at Life 150 Church.
Life 150 Church. Oh, excuse me. I'm sorry. In North Hollywood. And it's December 9th and 10th through the 16th and 7th. 9th,
yes.
10th, and then 16th and 17th.
Two weekends.
Okay, that's when it is. Okay. 9th and 10th of December, 16th and 17th of December. Go see this. I know it's going to be great. It's probably going to be life-changing. And I know it'll be a lot of fun.
Good to see you, Fraser.
It's great to see you, Trey Fernald. Ariel, thank you for coming by. Great
thank
to see you. Timmy, great to see you.
Great to see you, man.
And tell those dogs to please keep listening. I need that. This is the Fraser Smith Show. It's 95.5 KLOS. Yeah, The Rock, Southern California. That is The Hives on 95.5 KLOS. Fraser Smith here on The Fraser Smith Show. Joining me now, comedian... magician Greg Otto.
Good morning.
How are you, buddy?
Bright and early.
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
I got the sweet spot.
You did,
bro. I like to thank my powerhouse publicist.
Yeah. You're in the House of David now. You got the beard. What's going on?
Oh, yeah. I haven't shaved in 3 months.
It looks cool.
Oh, okay.
Do you like it?
Yeah. Sometimes it squishes my face at night. You know, it sticks in your skin. I don't know. I have a giant beard, ladies and gentlemen. I know it's the radio, and we're talking about what I look like.
It's a cool beard, though.
Okay, thank
all
you.
All right. Now, to start off, first of all, you're from sort of the same area that I am. I'm from Detroit. You're from across the river there at Windsor.
Right. Windsor, Ontario is where I grew up.
Yeah.
And it's like basically a suburb of Detroit. It's right across the river.
Yeah. And you started – when you started stand-up, Or you first started as a magician, right?
Well, when I did my first show on my seventh birthday.
What?
I did a magic show. God, I wish I had a video of that.
Wow. Right?
How bad was that?
Well, might have been good.
So then, you know, I started doing little magic shows with the neighbors and charging them a dime to come in and all that stuff. But I wanted to be a comedian, so I was living in Windsor, like we said, across from Detroit, and a club opened in Detroit, Comedy Castle.
Comedy Castle, yeah.
And so there was a little article in the newspaper, so I called the guy up, Mark Ridley.
Yeah.
And I go, hey, I want to work your club. And he goes, can you come in and tell me some of your jokes? Just during the day at his office.
Oh,
so
really?
I had, typed up jokes on a sheet, and I went in there. And I read them to him, and he goes, oh, those are funny. Can you come down? And unlike L.A., where there's bringer shows, and you have to get your friends, 10 people, to buy drinks to come see you do a show and all that. Detroit, he goes, yeah, can you do 20 minutes on a Friday? That was my first time doing stand-up, 20 minutes.
Wow.
And in L.A., you get to do 3 minutes.
Yeah.
So that was a nice break, because he started using me all the time, and I got to do long sets and get better fast, doing lots of shows.
Yeah, so that's where you started out, was at the Castle.
Yeah, now where was your first stand-up place?
My first stand-up thing was in Ann Arbor, Michigan, which is right outside of Detroit.
Sure,
and I did a place called the Blind Pig. It was a blues club.
Oh, okay, because there's another club in there, I think, that I played.
Well, yeah, there's the Ann Arbor Comedy Club.
Yeah, I worked there. I don't think is that what it's called? I worked there.
I think so, yeah.
It's a weekend gig. Yeah.
They had a blues club there, and they got all the big blues guys to come play at this little club. But a lot of big blues artists. And then they had one night was comedy.
Okay.
So I went in there and started there.
Right.
And do that. I did that every week for a long time.
But did you play Mark's Club, the Comedy Castle?
I do now.
Oh.
Back in the day, I didn't.
Right.
And I've been playing it for probably the last 10 years. I got another gig coming up there at New Year's.
Oh, okay, because I haven't been back there in a long time. Oh, you're doing New Year's there?
Yeah. It's fun, man.
Tell Mark I said hi.
I will.
So nice to me.
He's a great guy, right?
Yeah, right, yeah.
Yeah, I like him. And that's a cool place to play. Now, did you meet some of the comedians that you later worked with there? I mean, I know.
I met so many people.
Bob Saget came out of there, I think.
Well, Bob didn't come out of there. But when I was just starting and I was like, you know, an opener and I'd MC and stuff, they brought in headliners on the weekends.
Uh-huh.
So Gary Shandling, Saget, Bruce Baum, Vic Dunlop, Leno came in and did a set once. He wasn't working. He was in town doing something else, but he came in and did a set.
Yeah.
I had to follow Leno. I was basically starting out, and I had to follow him doing an hour.
Oh, wow.
Which I don't recommend, by the way.
But that's gotta be tough.
But because of that, when I moved to L.A., I had Denny Johnson's phone number, Bob Saget's, and Gary Shandling's. And they said if I moved to L.A., I could call them. And I called them, and all three of them did something to help me out.
Well, that's cool, man.
Yeah.
That's more than a lot of people do.
I can't imagine coming to L.A. with no phone numbers.
Yeah, that's good. All right, so you had a little head start there.
Yes.
And your stand-up, which I love, is fantastic. And did you just – where was your first club here that you started playing in L.A.?
Wow. Well, I had already – because I was also – I was sort of one of those things where being a magician is my day job.
Uh-huh.
So I got booked at the Magic Castle. It was the first place I ever worked in L.A.
That's a great place to start.
Yeah, so I moved to L.A. because I had booked a couple weeks at the Magic Castle. But because I had the contacts, I got spots at the Comedy Store via Shandling.
Through Shandling
Saget.
And the guys, yeah.
Mostly Shandling and Saget, yeah. Denny Johnson wasn't really a store guy, not much anyway. But anyway, so I did the store. But Mitzi never really, took to me. But I got an audition for Bud Friedman at the Improv, and Bud immediately liked me and gave me weekend spots. So actually, I was pretty lucky moving to L.A.
That's cool.
Never having to have a day job. I've never had a job in my life. Can you imagine?
I love that.
So do I.
Yeah, good for you, my friend.
When I was a little kid, I only asked a few questions of my father, and one of them was, why do people have to have jobs?
And that's a good question.
And, you know, he goes, well, so you can have money and stuff. I go, well, the job thing seems horrible to me. I'm not on board on that. There's got to be a loophole around that, and I've managed to pull that off for many years.
You found that loophole.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Well, you still do a little bit. I know you work the castle still.
I'm at the Magic Castle next week, the 4th through the 10th. Yeah.
Do you? Fantastic.
Yeah.
Man, it's a great night to go. See some magic up
there. But I'm working with Fraser Smith this week at the Ice House.
Well, that's even better.
That's going to be fun.
What is that, Thursday night?
I'm there with you Thursday.
Thursday night.
Write that down in your calendar.
I'm going to write it down.
I see you're there.
I almost forgot about it.
Well, did you really?
No, I didn't. It's, you know, that's always a great club, too.
It's my favorite
club.
comedy club. The yeah. acoustics are phenomenal. Even though there's nobody in there, which is not that often, but if, you know, if it's a small crowd, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter because the room
off
is
the walls. Yeah. It's a great club.
One of the best rooms to do comedy. Yeah, we'll be there Thursday night. Come out and check out that show. It's always fun. 8 o'clock in Pasadena at the Ice House. Now, in Magic Castle, what do you do there? You do a bunch of shows a night?
Oh, or? It's brutal. 21 shows a week.
What?
3 shows a night, yeah.
3 shows a night?
Yeah. Well, you have to hope that on Monday there's no third show, usually. Sunday, usually no third show, but you can't count on that.
And how long are the shows?
Well, I do about 20, 25.
Uh-huh. Wow.
But it's just doing that many shows.
I mean, yeah, that's a lot. That's a lot.
But when I did we ever talk about this? I used to do magic at trade shows.
I think
you
did
mention
that. Get
audiences into a booth, and I did those for Chevrolet for 5 years. And
in Detroit?
All over the place. But, yes, I did the Detroit Auto Show. Uh-huh. 16 shows a day, Frazier.
What?
Every half hour, a 10-minute show.
Oh,
no,
my
you
God.
Say 10 minutes. Yeah, but you still get to, like, hang out there and yeah. be in the
you're still there.
Hobo Hall all
oh,
day.
My God, dude. Does yes. that get old? It must get
it
old.
It gets old, yeah.
Yeah, that's too much.
Yeah, I would try to, you know, if nobody was looking, I'd not do a show or something. The boss wasn't around. I'm doing 16 shows for 10 days at a time.
That's crazy.
I did the Detroit Auto Show, had 4 days off, did the New York Auto Show. I did 320 shows in like 24 days.
Oh, my God.
Is that too much math for this audience?
It is
for
me.
A lot of numbers.
Are you kidding? I can't even. Yeah. Well, you know what? That's crazy, though. That's what Bobby Slayton used to call 1,000 shows for $1,000.
Oh, right, yes.
Yeah, which is sometimes what it feels like in Vegas, but that's
oh, yes.
many more shows. Now, when you do the magic shows like that, did you change it up?
I mean, magic, very loosely defined, by the way. I'm mostly funny, and I do a couple
that's what I love about
half-ass
your show.
Tricks.
That's oh, what okay. I love about it. You just make fun
I don't
of
want
everything.
You to think I'm a guy with birds and stuff. And,
no, you're not. No.
And glitter and a top hat.
Although that might be, no. You know what? Your show's really funny. No, it's all you. About the funny.
Oh, yeah.
Now, did you have a magician that you looked up to on your way up that was that kind of a magician that did the comedy?
I don't think so. No, not really. I was, but I always liked comedians
there's guys
when I was a
like
kid.
That,
I mean,
though.
You know, I watched, you know, every comedian I could possibly see when I was a kid, Ed Sullivan Show and Mike Douglas. And,
Ruth and who were some of your favorites?
Show. Well, my very favorite comedian, George Carlin, was my big inspiration, who I got to work with. And
you got to work with George?
Yeah, yeah. Nice guy.
Wow. Where'd you work with him?
Excuse me. I had to follow him once. He was breaking in some material for a TV show, and I was headlining a club in L.A., and he just wanted to come in and do a few minutes, but unfortunately it was before me.
Uh-oh. That's never good, but somebody
right,
that
right,
big,
yes.
yeah.
But also on Flip Wilson's show, he used to have a lot of comedians. I know this is an old story, but Franklin Shai, I used to love Franklin Shai.
Oh, he was great, yeah.
Henny Youngman, I know these are different styles, but I got to see Henny Youngman do like an hour once.
Did you really?
He came to Windsor and played
how
the local
was that
place.
Show?
Oh, he's hilarious.
He was great, right?
Yeah, yeah, very funny. Just
one of my favorites.
One-liners, nonstop.
Yeah, I love him, yeah.
There's a good Henny Youngman story. He was doing some roast, and everybody usually has jokes where they make fun of the person that they're roasting, right? But
yeah.
not Henny. He just has no specific things. He just comes out and goes, take my wife, please, and then just does his act.
There's
nothing
million,
nothing to do with who's being roasted
about,
or anything.
About the roast?
Yes, nothing. Just running on autopilot.
I love the guy.
Yep.
That's fantastic. All right, Greg Otto's with his Frazier Smith Show. Stick around, 95.5 KLOS. Campbell Benzonato, he was on the, he was waiting for me. While the punk rockers and the moon stoppers who were out on the corners where they spared the change. I started thinking, you know I started drinking. I don't really remember too much of that day. Something struck me funny when we ran out of money. Where do you go now when you're only 15? With the music execution and the type of recognition fits in me. When it goes out, give up the food, the roots. Give up the book, the roots are ringing on my stereo. The
up in Sonata, he was on there, he was waiting for me. All the punk rockers and the moon stompers, they're out on the corners, but it's better to chill. And the radio was playing, they could think of what it's thinking, and the 43 boss says he's on the field. Good, 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 was a minute's good, good, but prohibition's on the fifth floor. With the music execution and the talk of revolution, if we stand here, when it got lost, give them the boot, the roots are radicals. Give them the boot, you now are the radical. Give them the boot, the roots are regular minds.
Yeah, 95.5 KLOS of Rock, Southern California. Fraser Smith on The Fraser Smith Show. Greg Otto, the comedian's with me. And, Greg, we were talking about Comedy Castle.
In Detroit.
In Detroit. Also, the Magic Castle here in L.A.
Yes.
And you play
I only
both
work
of them.
Places with the word castle in them.
Is that
and I live in a castle.
Well, then you are.
Yeah.
You've got a castle
I'm
thing
pretty.
Going on. Yeah, you really are. Now, I wanted to ask you about some of these. You told me we had a mentalist on the show. I know you know.
Well, Jeff Bornstein.
Jeff and his wife.
Yeah,
and,
I haven't seen him in a while. But
yeah. Good they, guy. I really like Jeff. And
we did a gig with them together.
And Kimmy. Yeah, we did. Well,
we worked in Valencia or something with them.
We did, the pizza place. And it was we had fun. I laughed at your act. You were so funny. But
thank you.
They do a mentalist act, and I love it. It always fools me. But you told me it's always a trick.
Everything's a trick, yes.
So you can't. So even the guys like Houdini, who were the famous escape artists and all that, those were all tricks too.
Oh yeah,
David Blaine, all those guys.
David Blaine does some things that are real, but he shoves an ice pick through his hand, and that's not a trick.
That's not a trick,
right?
That's the one you wish
was a trick.
Out yeah,
how to miss the bones or whatever.
That's the trick.
Yeah,
but in other words, the mentalist acts and everything that I think are so mind-boggling, they're all tricks.
Sure.
So nobody really has that.
I
capacity.
Do some mind reading tricks, and look at me. Come on.
Well, the beard gives you an extra weird look, but you know what? If you're doing those, do some people? I guess what I'm saying is, do some people have the capacity? To do mental things, like can they predict things? Can they see? Or
well,
is that
I don't
all...
think so. But like I said, I think it's all it's an act.
Yeah. Okay.
It's right. Got to work every time.
So you couldn't count on that.
Correct.
Yeah, I get you. Okay. And even the guys like Houdini and the people that do all that, there's always something behind the scenes with that, right?
Sure. Of course, it's a show. You know,
yeah.
It's got to last 40 minutes and have an ending and.
And the guy has to come out all alive.
Right, exactly.
That would help, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's good to know, although it takes some of the fun out of it for me.
I suppose, yeah.
Yeah,
no.
Yeah. And all the magic stuff. Now, when you're doing your magic stuff, yeah, you're mostly doing a lot of comedy. But the tricks have to be pretty precise or people will bust you on that, right?
Right, yes. I like to think I have a kind of a bulletproof act, yes.
So you've got your...
Do anywhere.
Well, you've been doing it since you were seven, so I'm sure you have
yes.
that down. Now, what about guys like Penn and Teller... who bust people on the tricks. Do you like that, the fact that
I'm a big Penn and Teller fan.
I love those guys.
Yeah.
But the fact that they reveal how the tricks are done, or I don't know if they still do, but they used to.
Yeah, they do that, but then they can still fool you with the same trick because they do a little twist on it or something.
Ah. Does that hurt other magicians in trying to do the similar trick?
Maybe. I don't know. It doesn't bother me.
Doesn't bother you, though?
No,
huh?
No.
Okay. All right. Now, you're going to tell us an Iggy Pop story.
All right, so I'm at the Miami airport, and I see this beautiful woman, stunning. And I live in L.A., so you'd have to be really hot in Miami.
She'd have to be pretty stunning, yeah.
At the gate in Miami, and I'm like, what's this woman all about? And then I see she's with this guy who looks homeless. I mean, he's just, what's this woman doing with this guy? And then I realize it's Iggy Pop. And then I get on the plane, and they're in first class. I'm back in coach. But the weird thing is I was actually reading a book about Iggy Pop. I was reading a punk book.
Right.
So, I don't know. I just couldn't believe he had this woman. That's going right. to that little.
Well, he is Iggy.
Yes.
You know,
of course. Good for him. I'm proud of him.
Yeah. I went to his high school. He went to my high school or whatever. I guess I went to his high school. And I used to go watch him play in bands when I was in high school.
Oh, really? Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. He was in a blues band called the Prime Movers.
Oh, I didn't know
and
that.
And they were a blues band, and then he had his own band, the Iguanas.
Oh, I knew that, yeah. Iggy and the Iguanas.
Yeah, and that's how he got Iggy. And they would play, they were like a cover band, wearing matching suits and everything.
Oh, I that guess was the I've era. Seen pictures of that, yeah.
Yeah, it was late 60s. And then he decided, no, I'm not going to make it doing that. I got to go extreme.
And that's he sure did.
Yeah.
Oh, he's great.
And he made it real big. Well, I'm a big fan of his. And let's plug what we're doing. We're going to be at the Ice House this Thursday.
Yes.
So please come see us there. It'll be a
along
great
with special
show.
Guests. That, we'll leave that as vague.
We never, yeah, but I think I know who it is. But we will have a special guest. So please come see us on Thursday there. I'll tell you when we're off the air because we can't reveal that. But the other thing is your Magic Castle dates once again.
Yeah, but you only can come if I invite you, and I'm probably not going to invite anybody.
So. You're not going to invite? Oh, they have to be invited.
I can invite Frazier, but, you know.
I can't bring my audience?
No.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm going to take you up on that. Okay. Greg Otto, I'm a big fan.
Oh, thank you.
Funny,
thanks for having
funny
me back.
Dude,
it's always fun to be
funny
here.
Funny dude. Yeah. A guy from Windsor. He's almost a Detroiter. I got to have him on the show. All right. Here's Iggy for you, buddy.
Oh, cool. Thank you.
95.5 KLOS. This is how he got that girl.
Oh, yes.
Here he goes. Yeah, that's Iggy and the Stooges. 95.5 KLOS, of Rock of Southern California. That is Search and Destroy.
Something Search and Destroy.
Mel likes to do. It's Frazier Smith Show, 95.5 KLS.
Hey!
And Jimmy Burns is here.
Hello, everyone!
From the Ice House Comedy Club. We were just talking about the Ice House.
I know. You guys are going to be there Thursday.
Yeah, great.
I may come hang out.
Yeah, come on out, man. It's always fun there. Jimmy Burns is with us. A couple things we have to address, Jimmy.
Uh-oh, I think I know where we're headed already.
Well, of course, your coach got fired, which we predicted.
We did. We predicted it last year.
Anyone could have predicted that, pretty much.
You know what? I forgot they had a good... A good season last year. Okay, they had 9 wins or whatever.
Yeah.
But not this year.
What did they win this year? 3?
Maybe 4.
4.
I know they're not bowl eligible.
They're not going to go for that long in Nebraska.
But they knew what he was doing because the AD that got fired, I believe, gave him an extension at the beginning of the season. So I heard for the next 14 months, Nebraska is paying 2 coaches not to coach there.
Well, you got to love that.
They're still paying Bo Pelini.
Are they really?
Yeah, and now they're playing Mike Riley.
Jeez. Wow. Well, Bo Pelini's got a lot of cat food for that cat.
No kidding.
Now, the guy they're talking about is Scott Frost.
Got to bring Scotty in, buddy.
Scotty's having a great year at Central Florida.
I read a good article. I don't know. They don't know if he wants to leave there. He's walking on water there. He's
undefeated.
Undefeated. He's building a new program.
And he played for Nebraska, didn't he?
Championship, 95, 96, somewhere in there.
Yeah.
And he's recruiting. You know, the recruiting in Florida is killing. And he's doing a great job. Don't know if he wants to leave.
Well, he's doing pretty well there.
Doing very well.
That's the alma mater. So.
Well, they said if Uncle Tom Osborne, goes down, how can he turn down Tom, you know, after winning a championship with him?
Yeah, that's probably true. Well, if you got him, man.
Can you see Tom going, Scotty, come on, buddy.
Come on, Scotty. You know what? If you got him, though, you're in good shape.
It would be a great story.
He's a great coach.
He's young and could be there for a long time. And, you know, he might be there longer than they would still be paying the other coaches not to coach.
Maybe. Well, why? Now they'll be paying 3 coaches.
Well, I don't know. I'm sorry to jump you. I hope I'm not jumping too much conferences here, but I'm pretty excited about Chip Kelly coming out.
Well, that's my next thing, of course.
Is it?
Yeah, the great Chip Kelly.
Wow.
Coming to UCLA. They got who they wanted.
Do you think that'll keep the quarterback, Rosen?
I don't know. You know, he was really a Mora guy. He liked Jim Mora, and they were friends. And but I don't know. Chip Kelly, it's a different style, isn't it?
Yeah.
They're more running game.
Yeah, it's more of a running thing and option.
They said Chip may have something he didn't have up in Oregon, which is a defense down here. He can recruit from Southern California.
Well, that's true. And, you know, he's a good recruiter, and he's in a great school now. I think that's a great move for them.
So do I. And I got to admit, UCLA put it together to pull out the win when they got a fired coach because Nebraska showed the opposite.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But they paid him, not the coach.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They could have just stayed home.
They said they knew he was going to get fired after they fired the AD, which was in September.
Well, you know, he just wasn't doing well. But I like that guy, Mike Riley. But yeah,
I know, and everybody said on the way out he was so classy. He's the nicest guy.
You know, he gave a press conference after he'd been fired that I don't know how you do it. He kept it totally together.
Because he's still getting paid.
Well, that's probably true.
Years.
But you still look like a schmuck losing your gig, you know. And he goes on national television afterwards, and he's classy, and, you know.
I can't imagine. But They've been talking about Scott Frost for a month, 6 weeks now.
Well, I'm sure can't imagine he heard being all in that, too.
I know. And my brother was telling me that Scott Frost is coming to Nebraska. How do you know that? Because Scott's parents already moved back.
Well, could be a sign.
A sign.
You know, well, we'll see. If you get him, man, you're in good shape. All right, now I hear you saw the Bad Moms Christmas movie.
A Bad Moms Christmas movie!
How was it, Jimmy?
It was up. I think this sums it up. I saw it in the $2.50 movie theater.
And was it worth that?
It was worth that.
Okay, any more than that?
I would not go out on a limb for that.
$2.51, forget
okay,
it.
Okay.
Well, it was funny because the Bad Moms, they just kept dropping the F-bomb.
Oh, really?
And I'm going, really?
Yeah.
Do you need to see Kristen Bell dropping the F-bomb all the time?
Kristen Bell I like, though.
Ooh. Yeah. It's a good cast. Susan Sarandon. Frage, it's just like the other movie that's out. What is it, Dads?
Yeah, Bad Dads or something.
Bad Dad. Well, what we did with this, what do you call it? What are they?
Sequel.
Sequel, thank you.
Jimmy.
Yeah, I know. I'm even dropping the little words now.
Yeah.
Well, let's go to the parents. Let's bring the parents in. We had a good show with the kids originally. Let's bring the parents and make a sequel out of it. And show how wacky the parents are.
But wasn't that great?
For $2.50, it was really good.
Was it better than Justice League?
You know what? I think I did enjoy it. But well, that's because there was women in it.
Oh, okay.
Wonder Woman was in there. Oh, okay, wait a minute. You know the theater I'm talking about? It's right by the Ice House.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
Okay, I couldn't believe this. You know, you have ads before the movie?
Yeah.
A Whole Foods ad.
What?
A Whole Foods ad before the movie at the $2 movie theater.
Well,
and I'm thinking, there's homeless people in here.
They're not going to Whole Foods.
They're not shopping at Whole Foods, no. But I'm thinking, you know, people who've been shopping at Whole Foods can't afford to go to a regular movie theater, so they go to the $2.50 movie theater.
Probably.
Because they're spending $40 on lettuce.
That's why they call it Whole Check.
Whole Check!
Now, I watched the Grey Cup, speaking of football today. That is the Super Bowl of Canada, Jimmy.
And was it worth $2.50?
That was not. Well, in Canadian money, maybe.
Ah, right.
There is an exchange.
Was rate. The I don't know. I didn't watch it. Was the Alouettes in it?
No, they were. Oh. Keep guessing, though. Remember, there was a time when they had two teams in the Canadian League with the same name.
No.
How that's lazy right. Do you have to be? I mean,
hey,
there's
that
eight
was,
teams,
you
and
stole...
two of them are called the Rough Riders.
Really?
Yeah.
But they spelled them different.
It's got to be tough for the announcer. And the kickoff goes to the Rough Riders. Rough Riders are, and the Rough Riders tackle them. And tackle.
But wasn't one spelled R-U-F-F and the other was R-O-U-G-H?
Let's not get technical, Jimmy.
Oh, okay.
Okay, we're coming back. Jimmy Burns, 95.5 KLOS. It is 95.5 KLOS. The Rock of Southern California. I don't know what that was, Jimmy.
That was funny.
It's late, man.
That
it's
was
late.
Funny.
Jimmy Burns is here. Frazier Smith, Frazier
yes.
Smith. Shell,
hello.
Thank you.
And Mel.
And Mel, of course.
And Mike, the white cougar.
The white cougar.
Wait a minute. No,
it's the white Bronco.
White Bronco.
Kid Cougar.
Kid Cougar.
Kid yeah. Bronco.
Kid Bronco.
Yeah.
Oh, I heard earlier, my pal Mike.
Yeah, well, Don kissing up to him. By the
now,
way.
Is it true he's going to introduce you to your boss?
I hope not.
Yeah, he knows them better than we do.
Man.
Now, Turkey Day, where I was at the Laugh Factory.
Oh, and I saw some photo. Wait a minute. Was Barbara Streisand really there?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Disguised as a bag lady. She snuck in trying to get a free meal.
Do you believe it?
Yeah. And I busted her. I go, that's Streisand.
Hey, Babs.
I go, it's got to be Babs. And everyone's like, no, no way. And then it turned out it was.
Wow.
And then she wanted to go up and sing.
Serious?
Yeah.
Whoa.
We were doing stand-up, and you know, we all did stand-up, and Paul Rodriguez and I was up there, and Tiffany Haddish and everybody. And then Barbara tries to go up and sing.
You're serious? This is not a joke?
No.
Did you let her? Did they let her?
Well, no, because we didn't have she needed a track to play, you know, a background music track, and they didn't have it.
Well, no kidding. Is every comedy club supposed to just keep a Barbara Streisand backup track just in case? You never know. She's hitting the open mics now.
Look, she was out of her mind. But there she was.
Was
so
the husband with her?
To watch.
No, she was there by herself. It was weird.
Wow.
Yeah, pretty weird.
Alonzo Bowden there?
Alonzo was there.
Always?
Yeah, he was there.
You're good people to do that.
Man, I got turkey elbow. I told you about that earlier. From
carpal turkey.
Too much,
carpal turkey.
Yeah.
Oh, wait a minute. You were
carpal gravy.
You were serving right next to Mazzia Brownie's daughter.
Yeah. Maz's little daughter.
I just worked with Maz over the weekend. He was saying how well you were there and having a great time.
Oh, we had fun. It was really, it was fun, man.
You're good people.
Yeah, now you had a tofurkey, didn't you?
I did.
Tofurk yourself, Jimmy. I mean, come on.
You
really?
Know, it did.
A tofurkey.
It ended up that way, too.
How did it taste?
Yeah,
they're bad, aren't they? They suck, right?
We had one that was good a couple of years ago, and since then, I don't know what happened. I don't know if it was injected.
There's not enough gravy in the world to cover
up. Or bourbon.
They had bourbon involved? Well, that would make it taste a little better.
Oh, man. I told Donna, my lovely lady at home, about your joke, and she loved it.
She liked the tofurkey joke?
Well, yeah, because she said, should we keep this? And I went, no. Have you heard Fraser's joke? And I told it to her, and she said,
yeah. Did it really taste bad?
Yeah.
Oh. Okay. Jimmy pulls no punches.
Well, if she was listening, it wasn't that she overcooked it. Like you can overcook.
How can you overcook a tofurkey?
Oh, you put it in the tofurker.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Okay. You know what? The homeless people that were in line there, I've gotten to know most of them. They're cool. They're super awesome. And, they listen to the show every week.
You're kidding.
No, they love it. They love, they loved Tommy Chong last week.
Oh.
Everyone came up to me and said, man, that Tommy Chong was great.
Well, like you said, he told stories he's never told before.
Yeah.
That was great.
Yeah, I liked it. You know, you talked about the early days of Cheech and Chong, how they got started, how they really didn't know each other. How
sounded like you could have done the whole 4 hours with just him.
Probably.
Man.
Every once in a while you get a guest like that where you're like, I wish they didn't have to leave. But we'll get him back, right, Mal?
Absolutely.
Yeah, he was great. And we did have fun, although Streisand tried to put a wrench in it.
I think it's nice, too, you guys. I heard commercials are... sign PSAs or whatever about it. You don't have to be homeless. You just have to be lonely. Maybe that's why Barbara Streisand.
That's probably why she was there.
But I think it's nice. Come share a meal with some people. Man, did I hear something like 1,500 people went through there?
Yeah.
Wow.
And that was
no wonder you got turkey elbow.
And that was in 5 minutes. No. Yeah. I mean, you really are wiped out by the end of the day. We did 4 different servings, 4 different shows,
and you were there the whole time.
The whole time. Jamie won't let me leave.
Hey, well.
Fraser, you must stay. I'm an indentured servant. But anyway. Oh, by the way, I made a mistake. I will not be there Thursday night.
You won't?
The Ice House. No, I'm with Tim Allen at the Laugh Factory.
Ah, geez. I think we can come up with somebody to fill in.
And I wonder who could we get.
Now this is where the bubbles, the thought bubbles go over your head and you go, ha-ha.
Let me think. The white cougar? Could we get him?
No.
I think
let's get the old cougar.
All right, you're going to have to do it.
The old white guy.
You're going to have to do it. But I totally spaced on that. I'm with Tim Allen at the Laugh Factory in Hollywood Thursday night.
Nice. Hey, Greg, did you hear that? If you're driving home, you're going to be with me, buddy.
Yeah, Jimmy will be there. All right.
Believe Jamie Caparulo does his, or John Caparulo, Jamie's his lovely bride. He'll be doing Caplets, a taping.
Oh, that's always good. That's
yes.
Fun, man.
Hey, I get to work.
Now, New Year's Eve, you're going to be where?
Oh, I'm going to be in Houston with my brother watching a lot of college football.
Oh, you're not going to be at the Ice House?
No.
Wow.
That went nowhere, huh?
Yeah, well, I didn't. That's
Joe
weird.
Coy's been there for the last few years.
Oh, so that's right. Joe always does every year.
But I don't think he's doing it this year. I don't know if he's doing it this year.
Now, here's some other stuff I noticed in the calendar section today.
Yes.
We're talking about how TV critics are having to reevaluate after the recent Harvey Weinstein scandal because shows like Mad Men would show. You know, the guys, of course, it was a show from the 50s, right?
Right. They're 50s chasing, into the 60s.
Right. They're chasing around their secretaries around the desk and all that stuff. And it's cool to show that. Now the TV critics are having a hard time, giving props to shows like that because they feel that after the Weinstein thing, it has a different kind of effect. Do you think that's true, Jimmy? What am I talking about, by the way?
It affected us over the weekend. Okay, I got to go back to Maz Jobrani. He's such a gracious man, and I'm part of the show, and people want to take pictures with him, and he's good to take pictures with everybody in the audience after the show.
Right.
Jimmy, you're part of the picture. What? They don't want a picture of me? No. You were part of the show. You're getting the picture. And so these people are squeezing in to get in the shot, and I went, Maz, this is how Al Franken got in trouble. Be careful, buddy.
It's true.
I know. Everybody, you made every picture.
You think
picture.
About those things anyway, right?
We had pictures and made sure our hands were on everybody's shoulders. Nobody's hands were low. And this woman pressed against myself.
Okay.
And my keys were in the pocket, and I could feel. And I said, those are my keys. Nothing's going on here, lady. And
that was the oldest line in the book. Those are my keys.
I'm just saying.
Nowadays you got to be careful. You're always thinking about the possibility of that, right?
Are we Are we encouraging?
Well, you know, the one comic I was telling you, we had him on the show a couple weeks ago, he does a bit about how if he walks by a beautiful woman now, he goes, ooh, just so she won't be able to, you know.
He didn't harass me.
Yeah.
Some uncles that would be in a lot of trouble, I know that.
Probably, yeah. I think we all do.
How about Santa?
Well, Santa could be in huge trouble, too.
I mean, who can sit on his lap anymore?
And how about the white cougar? You know, that guy's in trouble.
The white cougar.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, so what else do we want to cover tonight? We already fixed Thursday night. You're going to be at Ice House.
Yes, sir.
Covering for me, working with Greg Otto. I will be with Tim Allen at the world-famous Laugh Factory.
You can't lose either way.
Yeah, either
Tim,
one of those shows.
What a great way to see Tim up in close and personal and intimate.
Yeah, at a small club like that? Yeah. You don't get to see that every day.
Not every day.
He is fantastic.
And Jamie will be there?
Yeah.
Yeah. I should meet this guy.
Buddy,
sometime.
I must tell you, the Jimmy Burns buddy, we get him going with the comedy. That's how he talks. He needs subtitles everywhere he goes.
You know, Richard Jenny used to be so disappointed to be with me and not with you.
Because I would do the Jamie impression. One time we drove all the way to Vegas doing the Jamie impression, the entire way.
Yeah, because he would do Jamie too.
Yeah.
God, we're both
seeing you.
And then he'd look at me and go, never mind.
Yeah.
You don't know him, you don't get it. Where's Frasier?
See, I had it down, man.
I know.
Listen, let me tell you, and we all the way to Vegas.
I think there was a lot of comedians' very first impersonation was Jamie.
Probably.
Yeah.
We did the show.
I don't know, wasn't it, Bud? Move it outside. Please keep the aisle. That's
move along. Clear the aisle. But yeah, but Jamie, the thing was, we had a character on that show, Comic Strip Live, because they shot it for 7 years on Fox at the Laugh Factory in Hollywood.
Right.
And they had a character. They came up with a little rat, like a little stuffed rat.
Yeah.
And that was Buddy. Buddy the Rat. They talk like Jamie.
Oh, no.
Let me tell you, buddy, the comedy, we are keeping going with the jokes, you know.
Oh, man.
Yeah. And Jamie, whenever that segment came on, he'd be frowning in the background.
The Laugh Factory was weird because I've been around long enough to remember it was a dark hole on that corner and hardly nothing happened. Then all of a sudden,
with stand-up chairs.
Bloated. Mm-hmm. You'd order a Coke and you'd hear the waitress go behind the curtain, go, open the can and pour it in your glass and come back out with it.
That was the comics. The comics had to do that.
Before the car went through the...
And then...
The car went through the window there. Yeah.
No.
Yeah. And then Jamie, at that time, didn't have enough money to fix the wall, so he just left it open. So people would be walking by, and he had some police tape up there, and they, you know...
Wow.
Why should we pay to get in? We can listen to the show out here on the sidewalk.
No kidding.
Yeah. It was also where I ran into Mike Tyson.
Whoa.
Yeah, the famous story where he had just won the heavyweight championship. He was 22, and he was there. He came down there with Eddie Murphy and Paul Mooney. Every once in a while, Mooney would drag some real celebrities down there to the tiny Laugh Factory, which is about a third as big as it is now.
Yeah.
It was like a Turkish prison. It was a small, thin, little...
Yeah, and dark inside.
Yeah. And so we're in there, and Eddie Murphy's doing a set up there in this tiny little room.
Wow.
And so we go to leave, and there's Tyson standing there, and no one recognized him. He's just standing there by himself. So I go, hey, Jamie, it's the champ. So and he was really excited that someone noticed him. So Jamie and I took a photo with him. Well, then everyone started to notice him.
Right.
So then he couldn't get away. Then everyone's got him surrounded, and he can't get out of there.
Wow.
And then he was mad at me and Jamie. Hey, you guys, what are you trying to do? I'm trying to get out of here.
Have you seen his one-man show?
Yeah, it's awesome.
It is.
Unbelievable.
I was skeptical. Larry Omaha's the one that turned me onto it. He goes, you got to see this. I went, really? And just the opening 5 minutes worth was amazing.
It was pretty impressive, wasn't it?
It was Yeah.
Yeah. I was impressed with it. I don't know how he put that together, but it really was good.
It was great.
HBO, right?
Yes.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Okay. All right, we got to wrap it up, right, guys?
What?
Yeah, we got to wrap it up, Jimmy.
Time flies.
Well, yeah. And once again, you did not like Bad Mom's Christmas, no?
Well, now the more I think about it, if you can see it for $250, get in line. Maybe.
Okay. Chip Kelly, you like that move for UCLA?
I love that move. I think it's great.
Scott Frost, you'd like to get him?
I would love to get Scott Frost.
If you could. And Tofurky's thumbs down all around.
Thumbs down all around.
All right, let's say our thank yous.
That's a surprise.
Want to thank, right?
Can you imagine if Jamie started serving Tofurky? You wouldn't have to worry about all those lines.
I'd have to tell him to Tofurk himself.
Wow!
All right, so I want to thank Stevie Salas.
Nice.
The guitarist. Very talented guy. Worked with all the big stars.
C. Rumble.
Pat Vegas and Redbone.
Nice.
Yeah, wow. Redbone got a lot of response, didn't
Clouds
they?
In my sky.
On the website.
Clouds in my sunshine.
And,
Clouds in my sunshine.
Yeah, Barry Katz, showbiz guru. We thank him for coming
every
in.
Every week.
Yep, yep. P-Tray, Trey Fernald, Timmy and Ari, we thank them all for coming in. They've got the great, let me see, I got to read this again. It's This is Christmas, Discover the True Gift, and it's in North Hollywood. Check it out December 9th and 10th and December 16th and 17th. Eastern Sky Theater. Okay, easternskytheater.org if you want to find out more about that. Also, Greg Otto,
yes.
The comedian.
Yeah.
Love Greg
right.
Otto.
And man,
very,
I haven't
very
seen
funny.
Him since he grew the beard.
I didn't recognize him.
Hello.
When David Letterman
yeah.
was.
He looked like one of the guys from the Laugh Factory the other night. Looked like Streisand a little bit. Also, the White Cougar.
Yes.
Mike Fox, we got to thank him.
Yeah.
He is amazing. The great Mel Garcia. Yeah.
Ta-da!
Right over there. And who else? We had the Eagles songwriter,
Mel. Jimmy Burns.
Oh.
And, well, of course, Jimmy Burns.
Yeah. Gosh.
Come on, give Jimmy a hand.
Hey. He
certainly deserves.
TheTeachAComedian.com if you want to have a check out the website.
Yeah. And also Jackson, or Jack Temption, the Eagles songwriter. He was great, too. We
That's
had a really good show.
Had a great
we miss Wayne Kramer, though,
Oops.
From the MC5, man. Maybe we'll get him, though. Mel, can we get him on another
Absolutely.
Week? All right. I want to thank you all for joining us. You were fantastic, and we appreciate it. Come see me and Tim Allen at the Laugh Factory in Hollywood, 8 o'clock show this Thursday night. It'll be a great show. Jimmy Burns will be at the Ice House competing with us with Greg Otto, so you might want to check that out. But
those of you in the San Gabriel Valley.
He's a tofurkey eater, so we...
Not know. Anymore!
All right. Yeah, good move, Jimmy. 95.5 KLOS. We thank you for joining us on the Fraser Smith Show. We are out!